much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Karaoke on. One request. For those of you planning to sing Creed's Arms Wide Open, please don't.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Boy, that creative thing you guys do, writing jokes for a living, making the world laugh. What do your dads tell their friends you do?
Surgeon. Optometrist.
Died.
Jokes are fun and funny, but when they're at the expense of someone, they're just mean.
No, I want my bacon. I gotta tell you something. Bacon is good for me.
Hello, welcome to another edition of Between Two Ferns. My name is Zach Galifianakis, and my guest today is Bruce Willis. So, how many children do you have?
Three.
Which is your favorite, Ashton?
Uh-oh.
You guys leave Brett Favre alone. He's a human.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
So, was Mr. Wizard syndicated or what?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
No, no, 1,000 times no.
Roll another one.
Are there any dogs up in this
house? Just like the other one.
Watch out, everyone.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Work with all the Mexicans.
And be another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
You Gumby.
Roll. Just like the other one.
You both.
Seems to be about sense.
I think they're just drunk and they're being retarded.
I don't have another sense.
Are you saying I'm gay? Because if that's what you think, then just come right out and say it.
But the one guy that joined.
Hey, cat.
Just pass it around.
These gentlemen are here to talk about Beaver.
Now.
What time is it? What time isn't it?
Our feature presentation.
It's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show.
Sounds like jet engines revved up, ready to rock is what it sounds
yes,
like.
Yes, it does.
Sounds like it's Friday on the Kevin and Bean show, and it's not only Friday. It's the 22nd of Rocktober.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Felt good.
That was a good sesh.
And by the way, we're very lucky in that we have five Fridays this month, which doesn't always happen. So that means extra chances for Melfon to rock. So I'm very excited about that. Your telephone calls are coming up at 1-800-520-1067. You give us a call on any topic. Get on the air first, though. Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray. There's something wrong in his head.
Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
I do, I love the death, as you know very much.
That's odd, but yeah.
And I must have heard from 50 Bean's Death Corner fans yesterday who emailed me the story from Costa Mesa, California. Maybe you saw it, Kevin, about the woman who was driving around with basically a mummy in her car.
Yeah.
A woman who had been dead in her car for 10 months. She was driving around with this woman.
Carpool lane?
You would think.
Is that why?
That makes a lot of sense. That's not even suggested in the story as being one of the reasons. Yeah.
That's the only reason I can think of.
She befriended a homeless woman, let her sleep in her car, and at some point last December, the woman died. And the woman who had been driving the car, who's fallen on some hard times herself but did have a place to stay, said she didn't know where to turn. She didn't know what to do. She was afraid that she was going to get in trouble if she went to the police. So she just decided to just keep the body there in the car with her and basically try to mask the smell with baking soda.
Oh, man. And, you know, 9 days would be forever to have a dead body in your car. But you said 9 months?
Yes, last December.
Wow.
Is when the woman died. Apparently, Costa Mesa, California police were called because the car was partially blocking a driveway. And by the way, that leads me to think, if I'm driving around with a corpse in my car, I'm worried about somebody finding it. I am not parking any place where I might get noticed.
Yeah, you don't go to the mall and leave your car right out where everybody's going to walk by.
I'm parking as close to the rules as I can. Well, anyway, so the police show up because this car is blocking the driveway. Officers arrived. A, they smell something. B, they see a leg poking out from a blanket in the front seat of the car.
Good.
And that's when they do a little bit of investigating, and they find out it's a partialized mummified remains of a woman, mostly skin and bones, weighing about 30 pounds.
Oh. Wow. That's so crazy.
Mike, is this the first woman we've talked about in a long time that's actually fit enough for you?
Yeah, she's good.
30 pounds.
Autopsy showed no signs of foul play, but they are still investigating. The police are investigating the car's driver to find out more about what happened. She's 57 years old.
Wow.
Baking soda is what she was using there.
And by the way, as good as that is, there's no way it masked that smell.
Yeah, yeah. So, good times?
I'm going to go with no
on that. And this has been Bean's Death Quarter, 1-800-520-1067. Time for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do,
what it do, nephew.
Got a pair of tickets to Six Flags Magic Mountain's Freight Fest presented for you by Snickers. Now open October Fridays through Sundays. That's the weekends, don't you know, through Halloween night. And that is going on right now. Why don't we start with our friend Dominique on line 3 calling us on the Kevin Bean Show. I don't know why people after all these years continue to call us and ask for our advice, because clearly we don't know anything about anything, but we'll try.
We're wise, Bean. We're wise.
Oh, is that it?
Okay. Yes. We have the insight. Hi, Dominique. What do you need?
Hi, I'm in the same boat as you guys because I don't know anything either.
Okay,
so, good. I am 34 years old. I met my ex-husband when I was 19.
Okay.
We had a long relationship, got married when we were 26 and 27. We have a 12-year-old daughter.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we continue to be friends on a regular basis.
Right.
We always end up being able to hang out with each other.
Right.
Tonight, we had a really good night, and I'm still awake. Just left his house.
Right.
Okay.
And I really, really feel like I want to date him again, but I don't know if I can, like, if both of us can go back to that dating stage.
Yeah. So what to do, you're asking?
Yeah. Like, I don't know if it's possible or if it just...
It is possible. I mean, there are people who get a divorce for whatever reason, and then they reevaluate things, or they change, or they grow up, or they're in a different... I mean, it is possible. Have you guys been having sex this whole time since you got a divorce?
No, we have, but not, like, on a regular basis. We have had sex since our divorce.
Right. Aren't you kind of already dating then? If you guys are spending lots of time together and having occasional sex and you're spending the night over at his house, I mean, what would need to be different for you to consider it dating?
Just because we both see other people or meet other people that we consider having relationships
with. Oh, I see.
And you're wondering if you're wondering about maybe going back to exclusive with this dude.
Right. Like, I'm wondering if we can go back to the whole when we first met and we were just doing the whole...
Well, first of all, you can never go back to when you first met. I mean, honestly, it's going to be whatever it is.
We know now, if we could go back to the, like, primary, like, when you first meet someone stage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know why you called Kevin and me instead of talking to your ex-husband. It seems like that's a conversation.
I was driving home and I heard call Kevin and me.
Yeah, I would talk to him about it. But if that fails, then you need to make him jealous. You need to bang as many guys as possible. I mean, just go on a tear.
She's done that.
Okay.
She's done that.
All right.
I would say talk to him about it, but don't do it in a scary ultimatum kind of way. Don't do it in a way that, hey, we need to be exclusive or I don't want to see you anymore.
It's either
like that.
This or I'm out.
That's not even it at all. Like, I'm wondering, like, if I can go back to that casual, like, butterfly feeling for when we first met, like, let's go to Not Scary Farm or...
Understood. Gotcha. Yeah. But like, you gotta also consider what's going on with the daughter and make sure that, you know, you guys continue to stay friendly. So
yeah. Loved it when we hang out.
I'm sure.
That we're separated.
I would say don't push anything right now. It sounds like things are going well.
Yeah, I agree.
I kind of like it too, but tonight he kissed me. Like right. It was weird.
Okay. You know. That's good. Right. Just let it breathe.
So just don't say anything and let it go.
I think for a while. You know, you would hope that he would come around to the same feeling you have, and then it would be right. An easy decision. But right. if you start hammering him before he's ready for that, gone.
No, he wanted it tonight, but I was I have to wake up in 45 minutes to get our daughter to school.
All right,
so.
I got you.
Gotcha. All right, we got to move on, Dominique, but keep us posted. Let us know how you're doing, okay?
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you.
Banging, yes, hammering, no. That's correct. Our advice.
Right.
Do we have time for Duane real quick?
Get your daughter to school. Of course, always. Hi, Duane.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa.
How's it going?
Hey. Hi, Duane.
Awesome.
Good.
I like to sing happy birthday to Jessica Stroop and Sinead Grimes because their birthday's coming up on this weekend.
Oh, both of their birthdays are this weekend and we're not going to be on, so you're taking a minute. Okay.
And you feel that it's likely that they are up and listening at this time, or you just think that you're going to put it out there in the ether and somehow they'll pick up on your birthday vibes?
You never know, man.
Just want to sing happy birthday. He just wants to sing. Wish him a happy birthday.
Go for it, Duane.
Okay, we are a big fan. All right.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Jessica Stroop and Sinead Grimes. Happy birthday to you.
Very nice. Okay. Very nice. I wasn't sure if you were going to go through singing the song twice or you're going to put both names in there, but you accomplished it.
Yeah, I will tweet them and wish them a happy birthday.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
From a distance, though, right?
Point made.
Yep.
All right. Okay, Duane, you're the best.
Have a great weekend, man.
You too.
Okay, bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
So you need to be on your tip-top game with your GTLs to stay FTD to get the girls to DTF in MIA.
Yeah, I'm not sure I have any of that. We do have Andrew Siciliano coming in studio, talking about
love
the NFL and other sports.
Love the sis.
Yeah. Doto.
Yeah.
International Man of Mystery?
I'm going to ask that in a different way. Doto?
Yep.
Well, we exchanged emails this morning.
Okay. So
he's up in Vietnam and standing by and ready to talk to us.
All right.
Send Dave the correct phone number, he says.
Right. I'll believe what I see it, but I'm happy. I'm very happy anytime we can talk to Doto.
Yeah.
But it seems like when he goes overseas, phones are not an option. And
I don't understand
that. LaQuisha will be here talking about the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
We have Tito Ortiz on the program today talking MMA for the fight tomorrow night.
Wow.
We have David Zayas, who plays on Dexter. I'm sorry. He's Detective
Batista.
Batista, thank you.
Funny hats. Hawaiian shirts.
That's correct, yes. And we have the movie beat because it's Friday, and we have a new feature that we're going to debut today called Stop It America. Stop It America. So that's coming up, too. We'll take a break and come back with the showbiz beat. Mumford & Sons on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 551.
Mumford & Sons is my accountant, as a matter of fact.
Is that right?
So it's amazing that they're also making rock music. Just ahead of Ralph Garman in the first showbiz beat of the day on this Friday, the 22nd of Rocktober. Nice.
That duck call's hanging in there, huh? We can't get rid of the duck call?
Nope.
That's staying no matter what?
Coming up just after the top of the hour, we debut our new feature called Stop It, America, because from time to time, you have to take a stand and you have to try to save this country from going down the drain. And I'm afraid that this is one of those crossroads that we're at. So we will explain coming up in about 10 minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's happening, Ralph?
Melfon!
Yeah!
Melfon!
That's what I'm talking about.
Sweet, sweet sounds coming out of Melfon this morning.
Sweet sesh.
We're tightening up. We're getting our groove fang going.
It almost feels like we never quit.
Really? You know? It's like we picked up just where we left off.
Right back in
the
groove.
We're like the Cars.
Okay, I don't know their
Cars
history.
Cars announced but... yesterday they're getting back together after 23 years.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Finally, Rick Ocasek.
Let's cover Living in Stereo just to like...
Ah, be awesome. Or You Might Think I'm Crazy.
And we could do it better than them.
You might think I'm crazy. The bit I'm going through. Awesome.
That's it.
Yeah, the president of the Cars fan club said, yawn.
I know you love them
and you
whatever,
saw them and you
excited.
Live next to Rick Ocasek and you have all their albums.
All their CDs in your car
you
now.
Used to play with them and you were a roadie.
You're sexually attracted to them.
None of those things is what I was going to say. Oh. But I, at what point is it not the Cars if... I know at least Benjamin Orr, who was a major member, sang a bunch of their songs and played bass for him. He's dead. At what point can you not call it the Cars? Is it, as long as it's Rick Ocasek, can it be the Cars? Is it one of those deals?
I think it is.
Wow, man. Why
do
you got to poop all over the Cars?
Well, I'm just saying. I don't know that it's really reuniting the Cars.
There are four surviving members.
Okay.
And they are back in the studio in Boston, Massachusetts, and apparently are working hard on a new album and plan to do a major tour to support it.
Okay.
They should take some time off. They're running themselves into the ground.
Rick Ocasek really was the face.
Yeah, lead singer-songwriter, absolutely, yeah.
So he hasn't been involved with the group in 23 years, so this is the first time they're getting back together again.
Right.
For real.
They have actually demoed one song. I have
awesome. I'd love to hear a little taste. Rick's
different
voice
sound
is,
for them.
His voice has dropped significantly.
Yeah, it's dropped and you can't understand what he says.
You thought Mel Gibson was mad before.
Oh, no.
News broke yesterday that the much ballyhooed cameo that Mel was supposedly filming for The Hangover 2, that plan has been canceled.
I don't care.
That role has been jettisoned from the project.
So happy.
Why?
Because he is
It would have been awesome.
He's the you're taking me out of the movie thing. You're in a movie, you're enjoying it, and then you see Mel Gibson, you go, oh, that's Mel Gibson. He's the guy that's trying to revive his career, blah, 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 and ruins it.
Did Mike Tyson take you out of the movie? Oh, there's Mike Tyson, a guy who raped somebody, and now he's broke, and he's doing this for drug money, and he's just sitting there singing Phil Collins songs.
Good question.
No.
Similar situation.
Very similar situation.
Tyson did his time, man. That's all I'm saying.
Mel hasn't been
convicted of anything.
He doesn't have to do any time yet.
I'm happy he's not in it. What do you want from me?
I want you to explain why you're happy he's not in
it. I think it would have been a funny cameo.
I do, too. But apparently some members of the cast weren't happy with the idea. According to rumors, it was Zach Galifianakis who was uncomfortable with the concept of having Mel in the movie. During an interview promoting another film, they were talking about Hangover 2. And he said, I'm in deep protest right now with a movie I'm working on. I'm up in arms about something, but I can't get the guys to listen. I'm not making any leeway. People think he may have been referring to director Todd Phillips and Warner Brothers and asking them not to have Mel involved in the movie. And Phillips said yesterday, Warner Brothers was behind it. I thought Mel would have been great in the movie. I had the full backing of Warner Brothers and his team, but I realized filmmaking is a collaborative effort. And this decision ultimately did not have the full support of my entire cast and crew. So it sounds
or
like
Kevin, he added.
A little infighting on the set of Hangover 2.
I'm angry at you for the waste of my time.
See, where it had it, he was either going to be a tattoo artist or a bartender. He was going to show up as a bartender in the movie. Now that would have been funny, Mel Gibson as a bartender. See? Being all angry and whatnot.
Sure.
Look, he's still talented and funny.
I don't care.
Even Mel doesn't care. Christina Aguilera coming out, talking a little bit about her split from her husband, Jordan Bratman.
Oh. Bell or no bell for Xtina?
No bell.
Okay, just wanted to ask.
I don't think it's that easy
at
all.
No bell as if she's Khloe Kardashian. Yeah. I mean, I think she's sexy.
I'd say bell.
Listen, the body's okay, especially with those monster fake boobs on, but they're veiny and malplaced on her body, and
believe on her back?
Me,
what?
without the Barnum and Bailey's makeup on that mug, it's a wreck.
A lot of women don't look as good without their makeup as they do.
Bell.
I think Bell too.
I'm kind of on the fence on that, but I'll go with Bell if that's the ruling.
All right, there you go. Talking about her split from Jordan Bratman, she tells Redbook magazine the divorce is hitting her hard. She says some days she can barely get out of bed.
Me too.
Luckily, however, she has several dudes in bed with her to keep her company, so she's fine. She says that, now this is weird, because the day before she went public with the divorce, Christina, according to RadarOnline.com, apparently went to the ER with a split lip.
Oh.
She told doctors that she had fallen, and then they had her personal surgeon come to the hospital and sew her up. So that may have very well been the case. It may just be a weird coincidence, but...
You think that was Mel Gibson, too, Kevin?
I want a personal surgeon. That sounds cool.
I'd like to be your personal surgeon.
Wouldn't that be cool?
And I'd like to try to remove something from you right now. Your head from your ass.
How dare you.
Thank you, Psycho Mike. Yeah. Air high five.
All right. Let me say something about these stars that get married and then get divorced a very short amount of time later. I'm glad that they all manage to squeeze in having a kid before the marriage breaks up.
Sure.
I'm glad that that's the first thing they do before they settle in and get in the groove of being married.
Bean, what's the point of getting married if you can't get the accessories?
That's true.
Hollywood's all about accessorizing.
Good point.
Speaking of kids, this should hopefully elicit a scream of terror from everyone listening to the sound of my voice. In Touch magazine reports that recently, during a night out with her family, Kourtney Kardashian passed on drinking any sort of alcohol, lending credence to the rumors that perhaps she is yet again pregnant with boyfriend Scott Disick.
Nope.
Oh, God! No! God, please, no! No!
That would be bad.
No!
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm...
No!
What happened?
Someone
just kill him?
He stopped screaming.
Got his head cut off? What happened?
They've already got, of course, a 10-month-old boy named Mason, and now In Touch magazine is saying they've heard rumors to the effect that she may be expecting again with that winner, Scott Disick.
Wow.
So... the couples that, should stay together won't. The couple that should split up won't. Come on, Hollywood.
And we know what's best.
We do. Together. Just ask us. We'll tell you. We will anoint certain couples and we will break up others because that's who we are. Today's celebrity birthdays, Zach Hanson of Hanson.
Yeah.
He's the drummer from Hanson.
Like it makes a difference.
He was the cute one.
Okay.
He's 25. Had a big influence on my own drumming career, by the way.
Oh, really? Is your drumming Hanson-esque?
I've learned a lot from Zach.
Wow.
Yeah. Jonathan Lipnicki. Speaking of kids who were cute who grew up to be ugly. He's 20 years old today. Director Spike Jonze celebrates his 41st birthday. Jesse Tyler Ferguson, the redheaded dude from Modern Family.
Sure.
He is very funny. Last night or this week, whenever I saw it last night on TiVo episode. So funny. He was great in that. 35 years old today. A comedian, Carlos Mencia, is 43 years old today.
Oh.
Actor Jeff Goldblum is 58. And actor Christopher Lloyd, we've been talking about Back to the Future a lot this week. Doc Brown himself celebrates his 72nd birthday. I'd like to go back in time before my prostate enlarged. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
It's time for something serious. It's time to stop it, America.
Stop it, America! Just stop it! Just stop it! Stop it, America!
You can go to kevinabean.com right now, or krock.com, and you can see the video and song that we're about to talk about here from young Willow Smith. And as I said in the post that you can see at the website, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. We've all heard that quote. We've always said, that's for World War II. That's for when Hitler's marching across Poland and nobody tries to stop him. And then the next thing you know, he's out of control. He owns half the world, right? No, there was a time where you could have taken down Hitler in 5 minutes, okay? And that's why I feel like now's the time we need to stand up and go, we can't let this Willow Smith thing get out of control.
Okay.
Because this has the potential to be just as bad.
All right. Let me just make sure I'm following you here.
Yes.
So Will Smith's daughter, who's nine.
Nine, right.
Could turn out as bad as Hitler.
She could take over Poland at one point if we don't stop her. Look, she's 9 years old, and because her parents are so popular, she is being treated like a real entertainer. She's being invited to things. She's being interviewed. She's being played on the radio. Her videos are on the TV. People act like she's really something. And she's a 9-year-old kid, and we don't need to hear from her.
Well,
and we certainly don't need to hear from her singing about whipping her goddamned hair.
But being she whips her hair back and forth.
Yes, she does. We need to stop it, America, is what we need to do.
Stop it, America!
Here's the thing about this. If Will Smith wasn't a movie star... Mm-hmm. He was just a normal dude, and his wife wasn't a movie star. She was just a normal girl.
Mm-hmm.
This song would be laughed out of America, literally would have banned her from the country. But since he's Will Smith, And he's got a lot of pull, and I'm sure a lot of people that are playing this ridiculous song want to get something from Will Smith. They put it on the radio, and they start playing it, and they interview her, and they talk to her like she has something to say. She's nine.
She is nine, and you're right. The song is bad enough that it could have been on the Jersey Shore soundtrack, but because of the massive affection that people have for Will Smith, they say, hey, let's play Willow too. And it doesn't have to be that way. We could stop it. We could say no. We could say, we like Will Smith, we'll go see his movies. We like Jada Smith, we'll go see her movies. I'm still on the fence about this Jaden kid, but apparently he was good in The Karate Kid. I don't know. He's 12, by the way. He's not much better. But we don't need nine-year-old Willow out there strutting around dressed like she's 40, too, by the way. What's up with that?
Stop it, America!
Here's a little bit of the song if you haven't heard it. And she's crazy, by the way. She's just out of control because she whips her hair back and then forth. And that's what the song's about. Here we go. So don't tell me nothing, because I'm not doing anything wrong. Who's telling her she's doing something wrong for whipping her hair back and forth?
I don't know.
Hey, this is the hair whipping back and forth police. You stop it. Like she's a rebel and she's fighting society. What's happening here?
Don't let the haters get me off my grind. Whip my hair. I know I'll be fine. That's not a song, right?
It is a song.
And how does a nine-year-old keep the party jumping? I mean, does that really happen?
Yes, it does. Apparently, it's not a party till she shows up. That's what I hear.
Keep fighting until I get there. When I'm down and I feel like giving up, I whip my hair back and forth. So that's the answer right there.
By the way, I've found that that works as well. When you're depressed, whip your hair back and forth.
Look, there are a lot of terrible songs. We live in a world where the Black Eyed Peas are popular, okay? We live in a world where the Pussycat Dolls have hit records, okay? But there's no excuse for whip my hair, is there? And by the way, you have interview clips of her, of this Willow Smith. This is what really drives me crazy more than anything, is they have her in and they're sitting down talking to her like she's freaking Lady Gaga or something like that, who actually has some talent, actually has something to say. And they interview her like she's a real thing instead of a little nine-year-old kid.
Yeah, this is Billy Bush, and he's interviewing her.
What's up, Willow? How you
Hi,
doing?
Willow.
Let's talk about the video for a second because I was on the set. Look at the screen. Tell me what's happening here. Look at you.
Is that cotton candy, Willow? What are you playing with there?
That's cotton candy.
Oh, she's crazy. She's playing with cotton candy. That's happening.
How is this an interview on my TV?
Billy Bush was on the set for her video.
Well, of course. You don't want to miss that.
Come on.
What was the best part about making that video?
The best part about making that video was because, like, my Warriorettes are, like, my best friends. And so, like, it's just, like, my family and my best friends are there. So that just makes it even better.
Listen, I don't have anything against any nine-year-old. Nine-year-olds are fine. They're nine. But they're not fully rounded people yet. And they don't really have a lot to say to society. And you don't really need to talk to them like, tell us about the video shoot. Why? Tell us about the meaning of the song.
What's around your head there?
She has, some kind of like a little rope. You know, it's just like a headband.
This is a rope. Yes, it is.
Why is it around your head?
She's trying to kill herself because she doesn't want to be a pop star and her parents are forcing her into it. No, I don't know that. But, and then there's...
Well, it's a long story. Well, I was at my house this morning and...
By the way, and here's just another tip. If you start a story with, it's a long story, shouldn't be telling it. Right? I mean, that's just basically, that tells people, oh my God. And a long story made short doesn't help because you never make it shorter. All right, here she goes.
Marcia, my hairdresser, but my best friend too. She had ropes in her bag.
So her hairdresser, the nine-year-old's hairdresser, had ropes in her bag.
And my cousin Sydney takes these little thingies and does them around her head. I don't know what they're called, but...
Now, at this point, if you're Billy Bush or whoever this chick is, if you're whoever's interviewing her, are you taking the rope and trying to hang yourself with it?
Yes, and I'm switching channels if I'm watching it, that's for sure. Who cares what this 9-year-old puts in her hair? How is this on television and being turned into an entertainment story?
Dude, she got it from her cousin, from somebody, from her hairdresser, who's also her best friend.
By the way, as you listen to her talk, and as you listen to the clips of the song, which again is called Whip My Hair. That Jay-Z signed her to his record label.
I know. Again, that's a Will Smith thing, right?
What up?
Will Smith, biggest movie star in the world, says, hey, my daughter's coming out with a song. Jay-Z says, yeah, I'll partner with you. You know, I mean, you know what that is.
But we don't need to do any of this, right? But, we could ignore this.
Right, but here's the problem with this.
Couldn't we say, Willow Smith, I'm sure you're lovely. Come back in a few years when you've got something to say.
You might still be whipping your hair back and forth, but we'd like to wait a couple of years.
Right.
No, but here's the problem then, is that record, radio stations and everybody else, you do not want Will Smith and Jay-Z to be angry at you, right?
I guess.
Or to hold back anything from you. So they do it because they have to. There's really no choice.
She does it. And I said, Mommy! And I put it around my head.
Trendsetter.
She finds things and, you know, puts them on.
Oh, that's crazy.
Oh, what a trendsetter she is. She put a rope in her hair. No one's ever done that.
And then when they laugh, ha, 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 trendsetter.
Stop it, America!
Come on!
You can go to kevinandbean.com and you can see the video and you can read the article. And I don't know how we're going to stop it, America. We've had no success at all in impeding the Beeb. So I don't know how we're going to stop Willow Smith. But somebody needs to stand up and somebody needs to be something. And at least when this is the number one song in America at Christmas, at least people can look back at the Kevin and Bean show and go, back in October, Kevin and Bean warned us and they told us to stop it and we didn't. And this is the country we now live in.
Stop it, America! Just stop it. Just stop it. Stop it, America!
Friday means Ralph is here with the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat. Welcome to my world.
Hey, party people. There are a couple new movies in Cineplexes this weekend that are worth looking at. First, before I get to those, I want to talk about a film that's only in limited release as of this weekend in New York and here in Los Angeles, maybe in some other parts of the country if you look hard enough. It's called Inhale, and the reason I wanted to give it a heads up and have you take a look at it is because I had a chance to see this. And it is a remarkably interesting thriller drama with a subject matter that really you don't see much in movies anymore. It's a very original film, and you don't get to see really original filmmaking much anymore. Great cast: Dermot Mulroney, Diane Kruger, Sam Shepard are all in it. And the premise is basically Dermot Mulroney has a daughter who's diagnosed with a degenerative condition, which she needs a double lung transplant for. She's low down on the list. She is going to die, basically.
Right.
And Mulroney becomes aware of a illegal black market organ ring that he is able to get his daughter some lungs from.
So he buys it from the black market?
So he has to go, he has to travel to Juarez, Mexico, and broker for his daughter's life, basically, with this organ ring.
Wow.
And it is it's dark, fascinating, interesting, disturbing. It's got a lot of
musical
going on. Yeah, it's a musical comedy.
Sure.
Zach Galifianakis plays the organ broker in Mexico, and it's wacky. He's got a dog with a collar around his neck. Oh, you'll laugh till you cry. No, I just say, if you get a chance, odds are it probably won't go into wide release, but maybe you can catch it on DVD or something if you hear it. It's called Inhale. Just wanted to give you the heads up.
That sounds cool.
Also want to talk about some of the bigger movies this weekend. The Company Men, Ben Affleck, Kevin Costner, Tommy Lee Jones, Chris Cooper, Craig T. Nelson. What a list of people.
I haven't seen a trailer for this.
Yeah, it's been kind of flying under the radar, but basically it is a drama about the American way of life and what happens to men when they get downsized, when they lose their jobs, when they don't become the breadwinner or the head of their households anymore. And what effect does that have on them emotionally and spiritually? It's a problem that a lot of Americans are facing right now. John Wells from ER fame is the director of this film. Here are some edited clips from the trailer of Company Men. The Company Men.
You're firing me? 3,000 jobs?
They were good people, Jim.
Hell, it's a business, not a charity.
I won't go back to a factory floor. I'll take an AK-47 to this place first.
Hi, Sally. Thanks for not returning any of my phone calls. If you do return my call, I would love to know why you fired me without any notice.
You cowardly witch.
You can do the honors.
Dear God,
please help my dad find a job?
I'm a 37-year-old unemployed loser.
You have Drew and Carson and me. You have me.
So it's a musical?
Yeah. It's once again, Zach Galifianakis plays the guy who goes around firing everyone. He's got a dog with a collar around its neck.
That sounds good, but depressing.
Yeah.
But good.
Yeah. Imagine if you don't have a job. Yeah. Last thing you can do is spend your $15 on this movie. Go sit there and watch that. Yeah, imagine. I know that stuff. You're screaming at the screen. That would not be good.
Go see both of these films at a double feature and then just go home and hang yourself at the garage, basically.
Or maybe don't kill yourself just yet. Maybe catch another matinee of Hereafter. The hilarious comedy from Clint Eastwood starring Matt Damon about what happens when you die.
Oh, man, what's going on? Are we in a depression?
Hereafter, directed by Clint Eastwood, starring Matt Damon and Bryce Dallas Howard. Oh. Three people are touched by death in different ways in this film. George, played by Matt Damon, is a regular blue-collar American who has a special connection with the afterlife. He can tell people what goes on in the afterlife for their loved ones and what the death experience is like, and he has to decide whether he's going to use that power or whether he wants to ignore it and not have to deal with the issues that come raised when you deal with people and this kind of emotional pain. Here's a scene where Matt Damon is talking with his brother, Billy, played by Jay Moore.
Huh.
Our buddy Jay Moore is in the film. About his gift and the decision he has to make to use it or not.
Another person came to see me for a reading.
What?
Look, I'll have a talk with him, make sure nothing like that ever happens again, okay?
Okay.
Did you do it?
What?
The reading. Did you do the reading?
You still don't get it, do you? I think just because I can make money doing this, just because I can, that I should do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I also think you have a duty to do it because you have a gift.
It's not a gift, Billy. It's a curse.
Okay. I would sort of have issues with afterlife movies. Because it is so obviously just wild speculation. Nobody really has anything to go on with
he
this.
Does, though. He can tell. That's
I don't think he can.
That's really the point, Ralph.
But if you're going to put a dubious topic, a dubious subject matter in the hands of somebody, you want it to be, I think, in Clint Eastwood and Matt Damon's hands, right?
I would say so.
Yeah. And also opening this weekend, Paranormal Activity, another uplifting, hilarious comedy. Paranormal Activity 2. The sequel to the wildly popular film that introduced us to the concept of how scary it is when someone slowly pulls a sheet off your body.
And stands over you and looks at you for a while.
In this film, another family is in the midst of a disturbing presence that haunts their home nightly, and they have to deal with that. Here are some edited clips from that trailer.
This is your room. Hunter.
Hey, Jackal.
Who is that?
It's your Aunt Katie.
So weird. I totally thought we lost it.
Somebody broke in and trashed the house.
Christy thought it was a ghost.
I know you guys are freaked out, okay? And I'm going to take care of you guys.
What's your take on this whole ghost situation?
I think it's awesome. This is the freakiest thing that happened to me last night. This is the door closing by itself.
Hunter!
In.
Ah!
I'm in.
Ah!
By the way, when she says the door closed behind me, it didn't just slowly.
No.
It slammed.
It was let it hit you in the ass on the way out kind of a door slam.
This looks good.
Yeah, so just in time for Halloween, we're starting to see all the scary movies coming out.
This is the bleakest group of movies ever released in one week at the same time, Ralph.
You may just want to grab a 40 and see Jackass 3D.
I was going to say, that's still there.
Yeah, you
that's
just, right. Just get loaded with your friends and go watch the Pucano. Forget all your troubles. Come on, get happy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Kevin, are you having to move into the witness relocation program? Did I hear that the feds were by to try to change your name last night because you got so many people mad at you? What's going on?
You know what's funny is I'm usually on the other side of this. I see a top 10 list and I argue with it. Right? So yeah. I decided for National Breast Cancer Awareness Month that I would feature the top 10 women's breasts, because that's what we're trying to save, after all. Let's be honest.
Sure.
And so I started looking for lists, and I couldn't find any list that I agreed with. Oh, I don't like that one. I don't like that one. So King of Mexico said, why don't you make your own list? And I said, fine, I'll make my own list. And then I started putting them up, and the reaction has not been it's odd, because people feel very strongly about top 10 lists.
As you do when you see somebody else's top 10 list. So you're talking about, you've been posting every day for the last 2 weeks at KevinBean.com,
your choice for that number that day for spectacular, amazing natural breasts.
Right.
And every day there's pictures and every day there's videos and people have been kind of playing along. We had a discussion last week how you were getting down to the last two or three, you know, to be revealed. And there were a lot of people who were getting nervous that their pick wasn't going to be in it. You were starting to hear from people who were like, hey, what about Salma Hayek? Hey, what about Scarlett Johansson? Hey, what about whoever my favorite is? Why don't you pick that person?
And I was hearing a lot of that from you as well.
And your response has always been, it's my list.
Make your own list.
Right.
Right. But you know, you want people to like your list. It's not like you don't want them to like it. But it's really fascinating how angry people get at you. I mean, it really is unbelievable that people get so fired up. Okay, first of all, your list is very flawed, this email says, because you only have one Brit on there. Don't you know that English women on average have the largest breasts in the world? Since your list takes into account the entire package of the woman, which I said, not just the boobs, I point you to Keeley Hazel and Lucy Pinder.
Super fake and even faker.
Yes.
By the way.
Super amazingly beautiful and great. But yeah,
they're not real breasts. Yeah.
That's the other thing, Bean, that's odd about this list is that I also got emails about every single girl on the list that their breasts weren't real. What are you talking about? You have no idea. You don't know that so and so has fake breasts. I'm not a doctor. I wasn't allowed to make give them a physical. I wish I would have been. I would have been willing to do that. But you just pretty much have to guess. And
like I saw emails from people calling BS on Lindsay Lohan, who I think deserves to be on the list. And I think she does have spectacular, natural, real breasts. I don't think hers are fake, but some people do.
Yeah, there's a lot. I got a lot of email on that one. My number 10 was Eva Mendes.
Yeah.
That one everyone agrees on, right? I mean, that's a simple
absolutely,
one.
Yeah.
Number 9, Minka Kelly.
Oh.
From Friday Night Lights and being all hot and whatnot.
Right.
Number eight. Where'd number eight go? I don't have number eight. I have number seven. Oh, number eight is Ashley Greene. That made some people angry. Mike, okay. Psycho Mike told me to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was extreme. I mean, it really is just
I thought it was reasonable.
Okay, go to hell is reasonable?
Go to hell was reasonable, yeah.
Okay.
Well, because you only have room for 10. Ashley Greene's a beautiful girl. She's got a great figure. But top 10?
Have you seen those commercials where they paint her? And she looks fantastic. She's running through the woods or whatever. I don't know what that is.
But when I look at the Jennifer Love Hewitts of the world that aren't on the list, that's when I go, well, you can't have Ashley Greene.
But I quoted you in my actual final post, which is saying that there are, you know, there are maybe 30, 40, 50 women that could be in the top 10.
Right, right.
So you have, if you're
gonna, personal choice.
If you're going to do a top 10, you have to cut a lot of people out. So number 7 was Lindsay Lohan, even though her personal life has obscured the fact. She's got
she's reckless.
She's reckless. Number 6, I believe there was a little dissent in the studio, Alicia Cuthbert.
Very attractive, very pretty. Top 10, I wouldn't. Not my list.
All right, let me ask you a question. Did you see The Girl Next Door?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, she looked fantastic in it. Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, well, that's it. That's all I have to say for you. So then I put Ariane Celeste. Oh, I'm sorry. Number 5 was Sofia Vergara. Yeah.
Okay, no complaints there.
She has to be on the list, right? She's on Modern
Absolutely.
Family.
Absolutely. She'd be on anybody's list.
Then I put Ariane Celeste on this past Tuesday.
Was because you were hoping to date her. You were hoping she would be impressed when we had her on the show that you could say, oh, I'm the one who's promoting your career here, I am.
Right. But then Mike told me that her breasts aren't real. So then I was like, well, I didn't know, but okay. So I changed her to 4.5 because you know why? My list, my rules.
Right.
You can do that. You want to make a list? You can make a list and you can make it however you want. So then I changed it to number 4 to Deora Baird.
Okay.
I moved Ariane Celeste to 4.5, which is also BS. If you're doing a top 10, to have a 4.5 is BS. And I admit that right up front, but I don't care. Number 4 is Deora Baird, and that's Bean and Mike's recommendation. They wouldn't talk to me anymore unless I put her on.
Well, it's absurd. I mean, it's like states along the West Coast, and you leave out Oregon. I mean, you can't do a top 10 breast list without Deora Baird. You just can't.
Here's an email. Monica freaking Bellucci, tell me she's in the top 3. If not, do not pass go. Go directly to hell.
Wow.
A lot of people wishing me to hell for this, and I thought I would get goodwill. Number 3, easy choice, Kelly Brook. She's the British model. She was in Piranha 3D.
Yeah.
She got motorboated. Let's be honest.
And by the way, if those really are real, and I want to believe that they are, they look fantastic for her age. She's been around a while.
She has been around a while.
She looks great.
She's way hot. She's the one that got motorboated in Piranha 3D.
Right.
Which you can see in the video. Number 2, I didn't want to include Katy Perry because really, she's on every list, and it's just, okay, so we need another list with Katy Perry on it, but you can't not put her on it.
No, she deserves she's to be on the list. That's why she's on every list.
I know, but I didn't want to just replicate everyone else's list. But then when I got to Katy Perry, I said no, and then I was like, well, that's dumb. So then I had to put her at number two. Number one is, okay, it's a bit of a cop-out. My top 10 list of amazing real breasts, number one, Bar Raffaele. Wait, Adriana Lima. Hold on, Brooklyn Decker. Alessandra Ambrosio, Miranda Kerr, I've got it, Marissa Miller, or Anna Beatrice Barros. I'm picking, for my number one choice, the Victoria's Secret models, all of them.
Yay!
All of them. Except Tyra Banks.
Yeah!
Who, by the way, whose breasts are as good as anyone on that list, by the way.
She's excluded from this list. Yeah! Because she is the devil. Everyone else that's ever been in a Victoria's Secret catalog, on a Victoria's Secret special, and especially those goddamn amazing commercials that they keep running during regular shows. Yeah. Where you're just watching a show and you're thinking, oh, this is funny, I wonder. And then all of a sudden they come on and they do those commercials and you go, oh my God, that exists. That's on my TV. It's like softcore porn.
Yeah, it's amazing. So they're all number one. Victoria's Secret models minus Tyra Banks is your number one in the top 10 natural breasts of all time.
And that gets Marissa Miller. So, okay.
Sure.
Right?
There you go. Yep.
And it gets my Bar Raffaele, who I love. But Adriana Lima, I mean, she's amazing. So,
sure.
So really, you got to go see the photo gallery. That's really what this is about.
Well, I think Psycho Mike needs to do a new KevinBean.com post of the top 10 most amazing natural breasts that weren't on Kevin's list.
Okay. That's fine. Are you up for that, Mike?
This may never end.
All right. Fantastic. I hope. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning. We've got the movie beat coming up. I'm sorry, the showbiz beat coming up. But first, it is the 22nd of Rocktober. Bean, I'm telling you, I don't think the Tribble's making it. I don't think the Tribble's going to... It's not cutting through, I'll tell you that.
Andrew Siciliano is the host of the Red Zone on DirecTV and an all-around sports authority. He joins us next on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk to him about the big weekend ahead. And how about those Ducks, by the way, those Oregon Ducks? What's up with that? Also, we've got Tito Ortiz on the program talking about UFC 121 this weekend and actor David Zayas from Dexter, all coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
David Zayas, David Zayas.
First, I wear his Philadelphia Eagles sweatshirt. Here's Ralph Garber with the showbiz.
Bleeding from my art. Wow. How about that? Wedding ring against the drumstick.
You were wrecking those drums.
I was. Very impressed with myself today.
Take your wedding ring off to rock, man. You can't be tied down.
Plus, the groupies, man.
Yeah.
Don't want to think I'm taken. Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Here's the thing about Canada. Love it. Love Canada.
Me too.
Love Canadians, love Canada.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Yeah. I heard that we're supposed to blame Canada.
That's the evil talking.
All right.
Right there. Here's a reason, one of the reasons I love Canada. I don't know if you've seen this new video clip or not, but they have, in Canada, an actor who is considered sort of an icon. He is a star of theater and movies and television. Gordon Pinsett is his name, and he's been around in Canada for a long, long time. He's had a very lucrative career as an actor in Canada. He's 80 years old.
Okay.
And so a sketch comedy show, a Canadian comedy show called This Hour Has 22 Minutes, decided that it would be great if Gordon did a dramatic reading of Justin Bieber's memoirs.
Love it.
Called First Step to Forever, My Story. And they did a sketch where Gordon sits down by the fireplace and cracks open Justin's autobiography.
Love it.
And gives us a dramatic reading of some of the key moments of Justin's life. As you can imagine, he has suffered through so much.
He's really lived.
On his road to fame and fortune.
That's true. He has
really been through the dark days as well as the highlights. So here is Gordon Pinsett, the actor from Canada, giving you just a little taste of Justin Bieber's autobiography.
Singers aren't supposed to have dairy before a show, but we all know I'm a rule breaker. Pizza is just so good. I'd gotten the ugliest haircut of my life. My trademark swoosh was hacked off into this squarish situation that kind of reminded me of Bart Simpson. What he must have gone through.
Is that real?
He comments on it. That's actual.
He wrote all that.
Those are actual excerpts from his autobiography.
Wow.
Not supposed to have dairy before a show, but pizza's just too good. Got a bad haircut. This is the kind of stuff that's covered in his very touching memoir.
I believe we have found next week's Stop in America.
Yeah. No kidding.
Gordon Pinsett from Canadian television. Very funny clip. You can find it online. It's a smash hit, by the way. It's gone viral, and it's getting tons of
That's
hits
awesome.
Because it's very, very funny. Speaking of Justin Bieber and his ilk, the MTV Europe Awards are set to go in Madrid, Spain on November the 7th. Eva Longoria will be hosting the awards. But the reason we care just announced Hayley Williams of Paramore and B.O.B. are going to be performing.
Fantastic.
Doing Airplanes together, so we get a chance to see that, I'm sure. That'll be a great performance. Miley Cyrus also performing. So far, that's all we have confirmed. But more artists will be added to the list as we go along. Eva Longoria, by the way, had a car accident this week.
I didn't hear a ding after Eva Longoria.
I did it first mention.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. She was cruising along outside of her restaurant, Bessel, here in Los Angeles, when she collided with another vehicle. Apparently, there were minor injuries, but no one required a trip to the hospital, and all is well. Luckily, her ass doubles as an airbag, so she's fine. She's got a little booty on her, that girl. It's not easy to make movies. Sometimes you have to risk life and limb. I wish we had known this when we talked to Mila Jovovich this week.
Wow, what happened?
Apparently, she's on the set of her new film, The Three Musketeers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she has some period-appropriate costuming, apparently, including some very tight gloves, tight at the wrist.
Right.
It turns out the gloves were so tight, they were cutting off the blood flow to her hands. Her hands turned blue, and the gloves had to be cut off by a medical team.
What?
Because Dude. That's how tight they were. She lost both hands.
She didn't lose both hands.
No, that would be a great ending to the story.
It would be better. Yeah,
but apparently they cut it off, and then she got her blood flow back and all as well. But still.
That's weird.
So whatever with the NFL. Ooh, be careful to protect our players. Oh, they're getting hit in the head, concussions, spinal injuries. What about actors losing blood to their hands?
That's right. Hot actors.
Come on, SAG. Step up. The safety measures. People are dying.
Well, they're not dying.
No, they're not dying. Listen, I know we argue about this quite often here on the show. I know Psycho Mike believes Pamela Anderson is a monster now. I don't think she's a monster. I think she has lost some of her luster from her glory days as America's sex symbol.
That's the problem, is that you compare her with early Pam Anderson, which is an impossible comparison.
She was a stunner back in the day. She's not quite as stunning, but I still find her attractive and sexy.
Oh, she's 71 years old.
She's not 71 years old. She's not 71 years old. I think she's in her late 30s.
Pam Anderson?
60s.
And she is still a voluptuous, attractive woman in my mind.
Okay.
But all that being said, I don't need to see her in Playboy magazine again.
No.
Just announced today, Pamela Anderson will once again be posing for Playboy magazine. She's going to be on the cover of the January edition. This will be her 11th cover, by the way, for Playboy magazine.
Wow.
She is the person who has appeared most on the cover of Playboy magazine.
11?
11 covers.
Can't they just pull out photos they didn't use from the first 10 times and put those in the magazine?
Well, they do have thousands. But they can, she could. I'm sure she'll doll up. And
yeah, I mean, she's attractive, but
airbrushing. And
I'm just saying, I'm getting a little bored of seeing her naked, if that's
right.
possible.
It's not much of a thrill anymore, right?
It is impossible.
It is a little bit.
Right.
Enough already. And speaking of enough already, CW Network has announced a new series for Michelle Trachtenberg. Nothing against Michelle. I think she's lovely and talented. But the premise of the show on the CW will be she's a young criminology student who's brilliant and has a gift for profiling. It helps the FBI solve cases.
The FBI!
Thank you.
In a related story, TNT Network has announced a new series called Perception, starring Eric McCormick.
Yeah, Eric.
He will play an eccentric but brilliant neuroscientist who helps the FBI solve complex cases.
The FBI!
We're starting to see a theme in television here. Where it, you know what started it? House started because they were the best of it. It's the eccentric but brilliant fill in the blank
right.
who solves the cases no one else can solve. Right.
That's then Monk. You got numbers.
Monk
right.
and numbers, and then you got Lie to Me, where Dr. Yeah. Cal Lightman is the eccentric but brilliant lie detector, and he helps the FBI solve cases
but
they can't
sure
solve.
But he sure is rude.
I'm just saying.
You're right.
We get it. That we get the premise that there's somebody who's eccentric but brilliant and helps the authorities solve cases. I think we've got the trend now. I think we got plenty of it on television. Maybe, I'm just saying, move on to a new genre.
What's the one with the guy that used to be a con artist and now he's helping?
The Mentalist?
Yeah, The Mentalist.
Yeah, he's an eccentric but brilliant con artist who helps the authorities solve the cases that when no one else can.
Same thing.
I'm just saying, we got it. We got it. Moving on.
Covered?
Covered.
Yeah.
Done. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Christopher Lloyd from Back to the Future. He is 72 years old today. Actor Jeff Goldblum celebrates his 58th birthday. Comedian, joke thief Carlos Mencia celebrates his 43rd birthday. Director Spike Jonze is 41. Jesse Tyler Ferguson, actor who is so good over there on Modern Family. He is the redheaded half of the gay couple on that show, 35 years old. Zach Hansen, drummer of Hansen, is 25. And Jonathan Lipnicki from Stuart Little and Jerry Maguire, he celebrates his 20th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Always a pleasure to welcome our next guest to the studio. He is, of course, the host of The Red Zone on DirecTV and an ESPN radio personality. Ladies and gentlemen, the sis, Andrew Siciliano is here.
That thing cracks me up.
How are you, man?
What's up?
Good to see you.
Likewise.
So much to talk about. A lot of stuff going on, including, by the way, I've been defending baseball as being America's pastime for my whole life. But I'm at the point now where I'm going to acquiesce and realize that football is more popular than baseball.
Football is more popular. And if you work in baseball, you were depressed on Monday night. Did you guys see the numbers Monday night, right?
Yes. That's kind of that was the final nail in the coffin for me for realizing that it is that, you go ahead and explain what happened and then people will know why.
All right. Two things. You had the baseball game on. You had Cliff Lee of the Rangers at Yankee Stadium just carving up the Rangers. It was a ridiculous, almost historic performance. And on the other side, you had Monday Night Football, which you think Monday Night Football would get a big number, likely sure. win.
Sure.
But it's a Yankee playoff game. The only thing that saves baseball playoff ratings are the Yankees.
That's it, really?
That's it.
No other teams draw like them?
Yankees.
Red Sox a little bit.
Red Sox, you're right.
They're biggies, yeah.
On the other side, though, you had a bad football game. You had two teams, at least in terms of TV market. You had TV market like 29 and 42. You had Tennessee at Nashville and Jacksonville, and the game was awful. The game was over in 10 minutes. It was a bad, bad, bad football game.
So baseball destroyed it, is what you're about to tell us.
The football game got a 7-2. Baseball got a 6-5. And the baseball game, even though it ended up 8-0, it was 2-0 with like a two-hitter through 8.
Yeah.
So it was a beautiful baseball game. And it couldn't beat the Titans and the Jaguars.
Yeah.
And here's part of the problem. Baseball's on TBS. And I know, where's TBS on your TV?
247.
247 on DirecTV.
Right.
You walk down the street, your average dude doesn't know where TBS is. They don't. They know where ESPN is. It's off the top of their head.
Really?
Most guys do, I think.
That's what I think.
It's 206. You have to look for
ESPN,
the baseball.
Yeah.
You have to look for the baseball. You have to want to find it on 247.
But most of the ratings, I would think, for baseball playoffs don't come from people that don't know where it is and they're just searching.
You don't think accidental viewers help?
I'm sure they help, but that's not a majority of.
They have to help.
So you think if it was on Fox or ABC or any of the other networks that it would have gotten a lot higher ratings?
I think football would have still beaten it, or maybe it would have been even, but it wouldn't have been that much of a difference.
Here's what I think. Baseball's boring.
Baseball can be boring.
And I'll tell you why. And this is a specific good example because you were talking about the pitcher. Mm-hmm. For the most part, there are three people involved at any time in the baseball game.
Right.
For most of it. At least in football, they reset and all 22 guys are involved.
And here's
why
this year is depressing. If you're Bud Selig and you have that hair and you work in baseball,
sure.
is that you have four of the top six markets still left. You have New York, the Bay Area, Dallas and Philadelphia.
Yeah,
and the
think.
Ratings still won't be any good.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's
by
awful.
The way, last night's Monday night game also proved that football can be boring too.
Oh,
so.
It was boring. It was an awful game.
Right, but it was boring, but it still got better ratings.
And you know why people watched till the end?
to see if Chris Johnson can get 100 yards for their fantasy team.
Yeah,
or
well.
If somebody can get a shutout and help their fantasy team. Or if somebody could win on the over-under, which I have no idea what it was, by the way. But I'm sure.
Because you don't pay any attention to betting.
No, I do pay attention. Oh. But I don't gamble. There's a difference. I didn't look at that game.
I watched some of both of those spring events that were going on, and I was particularly taken at the end of the NFL game to see Steve Young among all the commentators that were on ESPN that night, who I've never seen him as angry as he was about this ruling that came down about not allowing the helmet hits anymore and about the devastating hits and about how the entire game of football is going to be changed. He was incensed. He was furious about that. He was saying, it's not football anymore if you're going to stop guys from hitting hard. That's what we do. That's what makes this sport great.
Haven't they always had that spearing rule?
You could never spear. And here's the thing from Steve Young is that guy had like 98 concussions when he was playing.
Right.
So if he's saying that they're going to put skirts on guys, then it actually means something.
Yeah.
Look, I could give you a rundown of the list of games this weekend, but the fact is there's only one story this week, and that is who's going to get flagged and who's going to get whom. That's the only story this week.
And what's the penalty going to be?
What's the penalty going to be? Are guys going to get suspended? Are guys going to get fined? It is the only story this week in the NFL.
Would you know what to do if you were playing right now? If you were heading out of the field to play a game right now, Andrew,
yeah,
would you know what to do?
Killed.
I mean, are the rules so clear that you understand now what you're allowed to do and not do? I don't think so.
Not at all. And here's the problem. Like, for example, James Harrison of the Steelers, who kind of has a reputation of being a headhunter.
Right.
He's the guy that got fined $75,000. He hit two Browns, gave them both concussions. So he put two dudes to sleep last Sunday. One of them was a helmet-to-helmet hit on a guy who was a quarterback, but it was an option quarterback thing. Josh Cribbs, they said it wasn't illegal. I disagree, but they let that one go. The other one, he did a forearm up under his chin.
Right.
That's illegal.
That is illegal.
Yet his coach and his owner, one of the most respected owners in any sport, came out and said, I don't think it was illegal. So if you have your coach and your owner defending the guy, saying it's not illegal, the league office says it is illegal. Who knows what you can do?
Yeah.
Like the Dante Robinson hit. DeSean Jackson, Ralph's guy, DeSean Jackson got knocked out. They fined Dante Robinson. I've looked at it 50 times. I think it's clean. And I saw, you know, the league sent a video around before the season began. I sat down and watched it and broke it down. What is and isn't illegal this year? I think it's legal. I think that hit was clean. But
whoa,
yet they fined him $50,000. It makes no sense.
That's a huge mess if you don't have rules that are clear. That's just, there's no way if it comes down to subjective.
Well, they're actually clear. The problem is the officials don't apply them consistently. Because if I'm watching two dudes run into each other and I'm 15 feet away and they're going 100 miles an hour, a lot of officials apply this rule. Ow, that looked like it hurt.
It was the
throw the flag.
Rule.
And I've had the head of officiating, the old guy, tell me flat out, I'd rather have my guy throw the flag and err on the side of caution and then find out later that it shouldn't have been a penalty, then let it go and let stuff that's illegal that threatens player safety then become pervasive.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can see that you don't want the second part to happen.
Right.
But there's got to be a happy medium where you don't let everything go.
Right. I mean, the rule is I can't go to your head or neck if you're defenseless. So if you're up in the air and you're going to catch a pass and I'm the DB, I'm coming up on you, I have to basically hit a target right here in the middle of your chest or take your legs out.
Right.
If I go to your head or your neck in any way, shape, or form, they're going to throw the flag. It's like they want guys to be in the Matrix. Like the bullet's coming at me. And so if you're up in the air and you don't catch the ball, I then, after already joining you in the air, have to, in a split second, notice that you haven't caught the ball, and then, like Keanu or Lawrence Fishburne in the Matrix, move around and avoid the bullet.
Now, is that possible?
I don't think it is.
Okay. Hey, Ralph.
Hey there. I'm glad you guys are talking about this, because, and I agree with Andrew, I mean, look, Jackson is my boy, and
he's no bigger than me, by the way.
It killed me to see him get knocked out of the game. But that guy was throwing his shoulder into his shoulder, and it was incidental head
shoulder,
contact.
Shoulder, shoulder.
Those
yeah.
guys went into each other.
Have you met DeSean Jackson?
I have not ever met him personally.
He's my size.
Tiny.
I'm one.
Take it easy.
No. I'm dead serious. I'm 165. I might weigh more than him.
Wow.
Dead serious.
But here's what I want to bring up, and I think the NFL is being disingenuous about their real concern for the players' health. because it's been known for years now. There's a company called Zenith that makes helmets. Have you heard about the Zenith helmet?
Mm-hmm.
Technologically, apparently, it is light years beyond the Reebok or the Nike or the bike helmets that they've been using for years in the NFL. But there's no licensing agreement between these two companies, and it would cost an enormous amount of money for the NFL to implement this new equipment. If they really cared about these guys and head injuries and things like that, wouldn't their first concern be to get the best top-of-the-line safety equipment they could find and make that a priority versus putting it on the players and threatening to fine and suspend them for behavior which they claim is all about safety?
They'll get to it eventually. If that helmet is that good, they'll get to it eventually. Because Roger Goodell, I love Roger Goodell, the commissioner. He's kind of like Howie Long last year called him Wyatt Earp. He wants to clean everything up. And if he thinks that's going to help, he's going to do it. It may not be tomorrow. It may be in 3 years, but he'll do it eventually.
But I think some of this is just grandstanding on the NFL's part. Because it was a horrible weekend and we saw a lot of people take shots, that they're standing up and making a very public statement about how concerned they are for safety. But sometimes I have to wonder whether it's, you know, profit first, safety second when it comes to these players' lives.
And remember, a kid at Rutgers, college game, Rutgers Saturday afternoon when everyone else was watching SC.
Horrible.
Paralyzed from the neck down. That's in the headlines in New York,
too. We need to take a break. Andrew Siciliano is with us. We are talking sports, and we'll be back on the Kevin and Bean
Show. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Our friend Andrew Siciliano is in studio. He is the host of the Red Zone DirecTV channel. By the way, when you did that, as you do every season, you do the free first week for people who don't subscribe?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, here's some crack. The first one's free.
Please, no kidding. Come get some more. Come around the corner into the dark alley.
Do you hear from so many people that are blown away who are seeing the Red Zone, getting the Red Zone experience for the first time ever, that can't believe that that exists, that you actually can do that?
You're going to make me talk about myself?
Yeah.
Yes, I am. A little bit, sometimes. Yeah.
But that's how we all fell in love with you back in the day. Andrew, if you remember, Ralph came in and he said, "I'm so desperately in love with this man. How does he do it? We need to meet this person and find out."
Best part about it, you guys are free.
Sure.
I get you for free.
That's true.
In my car. I love it.
It's not like
crack, but it's free.
For 1 week, exactly.
Yeah.
So, another big, every weekend's a big weekend in the NFL because there are so few games, they all count. What are you excited about this weekend? The one that you personally are looking forward to?
If anyone out there has one of those wink, wink, nudge, nudge, very friendly around the water cooler.
Let's say I did.
Suicide pool.
Oh, suicide. Uh-huh.
Suicide pool.
Okay. So that means you lose your out. Okay.
There are two very, 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 very take your mortgage to the bank games.
And
New
those
Orleans
are usually
is a
the
two
ones.
Touchdown favorite over the Browns.
Good luck.
Okay, before you go on, this is like when Arizona beat the Saints a couple weeks ago, though. People thought, oh, you can't lose this. I'm going to bet the farm. And this
exactly.
is what happens, right?
Did I tell you to take the Saints in that game?
No, I said.
Oh, you did.
We asked you for a lock. You said you didn't know it. I said, I'll give you a lock. Arizona's going to lose.
Oh, that's right.
Because I'm an Arizona fan.
Yeah, by the way, I got knocked out of my suicide pool on that one. Thanks, dude. I appreciate
that. Well, you shouldn't listen to my lock.
Actually, you know what? That was the most stupefying loss I have seen in maybe 3-4 years.
That happened. So go ahead and tell us about your bet the mortgage.
Well, one of them is New Orleans over Cleveland, and the other one is Baltimore over Buffalo.
Yeah,
now, I don't
Buffalo
know about the 14
is terrible.
Buffalo's
that's for sure.
Buffalo is one of two undefeated, rather winless teams. Buffalo and Carolina haven't won. Now, I wouldn't bet the mortgage on them, but there's no way on God's green earth that either of those two teams will lose
it's also
those two
in
games.
In Baltimore and New Orleans,
exactly.
Both of them are playing at home. All right, let's get this tape.
Exactly.
Let's get this tape, and we're going to talk to Andrew on Monday.
Yeah?
And
you're not going to bet on these, are you?
No.
And if you do, I recommend you go to Vegas and do it legally.
Oh, are you kidding?
You wouldn't do that.
No.
Would you? I mean, what else are you going to bet on this weekend? Hockey games? You don't bet on hockey. Tell me.
I don't bet on hockey. No.
Okay.
I love hockey.
Thank God.
I watch hockey.
But you don't bet on it.
No.
You don't have a hockey fantasy league,
No,
do you?
Fantasy leagues of all kinds are sort of nerdy to me.
I can do football, baseball. I'm now getting into basketball.
The problem with me is football is that I'm from Arizona. I'm an Arizona Cardinals fan. Okay, so they suck, whatever. I don't want to be rooting for a player on the team that's playing.
Exactly.
That doesn't make sense to me,
if
so I can't do it.
If you do a hockey fantasy league, you are the lowest of losers.
Oh, please.
You are like a World of Warcraft kind
Please.
Of. You're a Dungeons and you're that
Please.
Kind of loser.
Oh, it's, any sport's the same, dude.
No, it isn't. Football's
any sport.
Easier. Football's better. Come on.
You're high.
Hockey?
Hockey.
Hockey Fantasy League.
No, I'm not saying Hockey Fantasy League. I'm saying Fantasy League of any sport.
Lame. Hockey's different.
No.
Yes, it is.
You're crazy.
Yes, it is.
You're crazy.
Where were we? What games
know.
Do I like?
All right, listen,
I was going to ask you who's quarterbacking for the Eagles this weekend. That's
it
what,
looks
that's
like
where we
Kevin
were.
Cobb. It looks like Kevin Cobb. Michael Vick was back at practice yesterday. They said he fully participated in practice. What that means, who knows? I think Andy Reid's going to try to keep the Titans on their toes until tip-off, until kickoff, I beg your pardon. I would guess Kevin Cobb. The question is Vick the number two or the number three? If he's the number three, that means he can't come into the game unless there's two injuries. If he's the number two,
they can't
change
their minds.
You have to designate a third quarterback. And that guy's basically just there in case of emergency break him.
And that's an assistant coach, I think, right now.
Exactly.
naming.
If he's the number two, I think he'll get on the field in some way, shape, or form.
Okay.
Yeah. Tell me about, real quick before we break and come back and talk about Brett Favre's penis, by the way. Tell me about the Bears, who is a team that I enjoy watching. There's some players I really like, but I can't get my head around whether they're any good or not because they are confounding me from week to week.
Yeah, they can't figure it out either. And that's the issue. They can't block anybody. Plain and simple, they have five guys who are paid very well, most of them seven-figure salaries, to stand there and be large men defending one man, Jay Cutler, a quarterback, who, by the way, is with what's-her-name from the Hills?
Give me a name. Kristen Cavallari. Huh?
Yeah, Kristen Cavallari. Exactly. Yeah. Those five large, overpaid men are physically incapable of blocking anybody.
Now, here's the important question. Does that matter? Is that important?
Yes, it is. I was hoping it is. Right. Especially when you have a guy that likes to get mad at his wide receivers like Jay Cutler, and then he gets angry, and then everything goes down. You know when there's that one angry guy in the room, and no one likes him, and you don't want to be near him, and then he's going to
yell at you? Maybe
they're
not blocking for him on purpose.
They're not. Exactly. Maybe. But once he gets angry, it all goes downhill.
Yeah.
That's Jay Cutler, and those are the Bears, and I can't figure them out.
They do seem to win games they should lose and lose games they should win. That's what's so puzzling about them.
But if you go back to week one with the Calvin Johnson thing, the Detroit line guy that caught the ball and then didn't catch the ball, then they had to change the rule next year maybe. If you take that win away, they're really not that good.
Yeah. All right, one more before we break, and that is two teams that aren't as good as they should have been or as good as we thought they'd be this season, and that's New England at San Diego.
And that game is not going to get blacked out, by the way. The Charger fans stepped up and bought enough tickets. Wow, but the Chargers are banged up. They're not that good. I'm sorry if you say they're good at home and bad on the road. That means they're not a good team. New England's a better team. I'll take New England.
All right.
Okay. Andrew Siciliano is here. By the way, if you want to see the DirecTV Red Zone, and why wouldn't you, go to DirecTV.com. You can also hear him on ESPN, 7:10 a.m. in Southern California from 11 till 3. We'll return and talk Brett Favre's penis, which is a story that will not go away. It's getting better and better, juicier and juicier.
It's got some staying power, doesn't it?
Exactly. Insert your own joke here. More with Andrew after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Tito Ortiz talking UFC 121 coming up later on today. Also, LaQuisha reviews last night's Jersey Shore, the Jersey Shore finale. Andrew Siciliano, are you down with the Jersey Shore?
No, I cannot watch it. I cannot watch it ever. Idiots only amuse me for about 5 minutes.
Well, I can watch it endlessly.
That we put those mouth-breathing morons on pedestals is the reason this country is going straight down the drain.
No, that's where you're wrong. You put them on a pedestal, and then they convince themselves they belong there. And then when they get knocked off, it's awesome.
They never get knocked off anymore.
Yes.
They don't get knocked off anymore. They stay famous forever.
There is that.
I mean, they get book deals. They're going to write them in crayon, but they get book deals.
The situation is going to make $10 million
next year. The hell is he going to say in his book? Really, what is he going to say?
I don't know. I don't even know that he's writing a book. I just know he's going to make $10 million from all of his things.
I ask people. Right. No. When they watch those shows, what about them amuses you?
Just it makes me feel better about myself.
Really? You need that?
I'm not that bad.
You need that?
Yeah, but it makes me feel worse about the species. All right, listen. We're off topic
about
here.
The species.
Speaking of mouth-breathing morons.
Yes.
How can you be Brett Favre and think that you can text a picture of your penis to another woman and somehow, some way, that's not going to come back to haunt you?
And you're a 40-year-old white dude wearing Crocs. You know, he's wearing Crocs in those photos, right?
You didn't know that?
Yeah. He's wearing Crocs.
That's the part that you object to?
Don't you look at your reputation and your empire and your wife and you go, there are a lot of reasons not to do this, so I'm just not.
I understand why some guy in his early 20s did it, because it's sad to say, going back to the whole Jersey Shore-ization of America, that that's how these kids were brought up. That's what people do these days.
Right.
But an old man, he's the only grandfather in the NFL.
Right.
He yes. actually has a grandkid.
A wow.
He's yep. the only grandfather in the NFL. And it's believed he might have, maybe George Blanda was years ago, just passed. But he's the only grandfather wow. we know of to play professional football. And
he's looking allegedly old right now.
Doing this.
Okay, now, allegedly doing this, let me just ask this yeah. question. None of us know for sure.
No.
Would the story have this much legs if there wasn't something there? There's smoke, there's fire. I mean,
no.
really, if it's completely false, wouldn't it have gone away by now?
It would have, I would think. Now, here's the deal. They spoke to him. The league spoke to Favre on Tuesday. They spoke to Deadspin, the site that put these out there initially, I believe, yesterday.
Right.
Mm-hmm. As of yesterday, they still had not spoken to the woman in question, nor, I don't believe, to these two masseuses
right,
that allegedly
right.
might have had an issue with them a couple of years ago with the Jets as well. If they don't talk, he's fine.
It's over.
However, she lawyered up yesterday.
Uh-oh.
And it looks as if she now, after a couple of weeks, has had the light go on and went, you know, wait a minute.
I could get some cash.
I could probably do something with this. Now, look, she's already done Playboy. She did Playboy 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Before this all came out. But if she's going to lawyer up, and if she may actually then decide to talk to the NFL, then I'm guessing we're looking at a big payout and maybe a week suspension for sexual harassment or something like that. The whole thing, it's not going
to
end well.
Do you think the voicemails were what really gave it? Because to me, it sounds just exactly like
him. Have you heard the voicemails?
Yeah.
You did, right?
Yeah.
They're pathetic.
They're pathetic.
I mean, hey, I can't do the voice, but hey, hey, you know, I'm a...
I wish you would have called me back, but... yeah,
he's got no game, that's for sure.
If you would call me back, I'm just leaving.
Still here.
Leaving practice, I got...
But he hasn't had to have...
You don't want to call me.
He hasn't had to have a sparkling personality to get women for a long time because he's been a football superstar since he was a teenager.
Football players don't need pickup lines.
Right.
They don't.
Ever. Well, I'm glad we had you in. I'm glad we asked you about that because I was wondering what the end game was going to be on this. And you're saying it's likely that at most it'll be a game suspension for Brett?
That's a guess. The commissioner said yesterday that this is a workplace issue. In other words, it's one employee, another employee. They're treating it sounds like your classic office sexual harassment case. But it's unlike any other.
Yeah.
Because how many times does the supposed harasser get interviewed by the police before the alleged victims talk to the police? It's usually the other way around.
That's true.
It's always the other way around. And did it strike anyone yesterday? I know we've talked about this in the past. When his wife, Deanna, went on the book tour, did a couple of morning TV shows, how identical she
same woman
and Jen Sturger are, it's scary.
Yeah,
he's got
what do you think? What do you think she says about that? I mean, it's bad enough that this allegedly happened, and
right.
who knows if it had happened before and we didn't know about it and she found out about it.
Yeah,
but not only did you do
I thought
this,
it was you.
It
maybe
looks
he could
exactly
go with that.
Like me.
Maybe he could say, I thought it was you.
The whole thing's gonna end badly, I think, for the team, not necessarily for him. I just think the whole team's going down, and this is going to be partly
this is going to be part of the anchor.
Yeah. It's going to be what they blame. Whether or not it actually causes their demise,
right.
that's another issue. They were playing poorly before this all came out. But eventually, when they look back on this season, this is going to be right up there at the top of the list.
Yeah.
As difficult as it was for Green Bay to lose Brett Favre, you have to think that they're thanking their lucky stars every single week that they did, that they made the choice, that they've got a good quarterback now and a pretty good team.
How do you think this thing would have played if you were still a Packer?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. If he were still God.
If
yeah.
he were still a God. Well, I mean, he still kind of is.
Yeah, but he was vilified by a lot of people. Like, they changed a lot of people's minds
sure.
on him.
Sure. And you know, the Wrangler ads didn't run last Sunday.
Is that right?
Oh, interesting.
It didn't get big headlines, but the Wrangler ads on game day did not run.
Interesting. Well, who are they playing this weekend?
They get the Packers.
Oh,
they
that's
go
right.
to Lambeau. It is the Sunday night
fun.
NBC game. So you better imagine there will be some fun signs in the stands.
Good times.
Brett, show me your penis. It's going to be awesome.
All would right. you ever, hey, quickly here.
Yes.
Grown men, should you ever take a sign to a game? Had this debate yesterday.
Is it funny?
Who cares?
Yeah,
you took
matters.
The sign. You took the time to get the poster board and make a sign.
I would never do it, but
never.
Then I don't care about being on TV, and I think
I
that's
would.
Why most of them do it.
If you're over 30, you're a loser.
Okay. And if you play fantasy sports.
Fantasy hockey.
You're a
not
loser.
Not fantasy football, fantasy hockey.
I didn't hear that. I just heard fantasy.
Fantasy hockey.
All right, we got
loser.
Go.
Andrew Siciliano, you are the best. See him on the Red Zone DirecTV channel. Call directtv.com to purchase it. It's part of the bigger package of every game every week, so why wouldn't you do that? Also, LA Sports Live is the show you and your partner Michael Thompson on ESPN Radio. Thanks for coming in, Sess, man. Have a great weekend.
Love you guys.
This really is the most wonderful time of the year, not just because of Halloween right around the corner, because this is the month of Rocktober.
One, two, three.
Nice solo from Psycho Mike, by the way, on Melfun right there. That was great.
He was shredding.
He was. LaQuisha recaps last night's Jersey Shore finale. I hope Andrew Siciliano will be in his car and listening by then. Also, actor David Zayas. He's on the show Dexter, Don't You Know. He is Detective Bautista. That's all coming up in the next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph Garman is plugged in and ready to go for the showbiz beat on a Friday Kevin and Bean. What's going on, Ralph?
It's Angel.
Angel
Bautista.
Angel.
Yeah. Angel. Oh, Angel.
Angel.
I'm so happy we're married, Angel.
Especially since you have all that money in the bank. I'm so happy I'm here to you.
Now, we were doing her to him. Now you're doing him to
her. Now I'm doing him to her.
You're confusing us all.
Making it a conversation.
Ah.
Kings of Leon bassist Jared Falwell admits he was addicted to cough syrup.
Sipping on scissor?
Yep. Scissor. Apparently, he got a rather severe case of coughing. You know, probably bronchitis or something like that. And he said the doctor prescribed him some potent liquid hydrocodone. He liked it a little too much. He said he started taking it even when he didn't have a cough. Then it'd be weaned off it.
Really? Is that strong?
Yeah.
That's weird.
He said he thought it was very cool. It was very 1800s of him to get hooked on cough syrup.
What's with that band, man? Aren't they all brothers or something?
That's a good point.
That's what they used to, get high on in the 1800s.
Laudanum.
Ah, yes. Ah, yes. Laudanum. Ah, some more laudanum, please, they would say.
I love cough syrup, by the way. Love it.
What?
And I love lozenges, too, cough lozenges. I do both sometimes when I'm not sick.
What's going on?
You drink cough syrup when you're not sick?
I enjoy the taste.
Listen, this is just contrary, man. That's all.
I'm hoping for a triaminic overdose from being rattled by that.
Seriously.
Yeah, especially because he refuses to take a drink.
Right,
ever.
Won't have that, but it'll swill cough syrup.
Because it tastes good. I like the texture of it and the flavor.
But here's my point. Everyone in the world thinks that it tastes bad, so Bean has to go with things tastes good.
You know what else tastes good? A Cisco burger? Oh, I love a Cisco burger.
What's that?
Cisco burger is Jesse James' fast food restaurant.
Oh, that's
Cisco burgers. That. Apparently, he is closing West Coast Choppers, but he has told friends that Cisco Burgers is kicking ass, so he's going to launch another franchise in Austin, Texas, hoping to open another 100 more around the nation.
Oh, wow.
So, when God closes a door, Kevin, he opens a hamburger
stand. Cisco burger.
That's right.
You cheated on your wife.
Yep. Cheating is such an ugly phrase. And Oksana Grigorieva, Mel Gibson's ex, apparently has another crazy boyfriend to deal with now. She was hot and heavy with her bodyguard after she split up with Mel. And now they've split up, and he says he's ready to spill the dirt on her.
Oh.
Christian Herzog is his name. He's got over 1,000 text messages and more than 1,000 emails, he claims, from Oksana about her child custody, about Mel Gibson, about the abuse case. And he says he's going to write a tell-all book. Apparently, Oksana never asked him to sign a non-disclosure agreement when she hired him initially as her bodyguard. Now he's going to cash in. That's
on the potentially money that she gets from Mel.
Well, I guess, right? Because she's kind of broke right now, isn't she?
But he'll sell the book, too. For her, depending on what it says, I guess, because she's trying to paint herself as the victim and get a lot of money out of Mel, yeah.
Word. That's what I'm saying. And here's an unlikely Disney duo. There's a new animated film in the works over at Disney, and they've asked Lady Gaga and Elton John to team up for a duet. And apparently they're doing it. The song is called Hello, Hello, and it's for a new animated Disney film called Gnomeo and Juliet, about a little gnome and a girl who falls in love. He's a gnome.
He's like a little, like an elfin character. He's like an elf. He's a gnome.
Right.
So he's okay. Gnomeo and Juliet.
So Juliet's the regular Juliet.
Gnomeo and Juliet. Sounds like something Marley Matlin would pitch to Disney. I have a movie I need called Gnomeo and Juliet.
Maybe they just misunderstood the pitch.
Maybe the writer has a cleft palate. And he was pitching Romeo and Juliet, and it came up Gnomeo. And speaking of casting, were we speaking of casting?
Nope. Oh, not a bit.
I'd like to speak about casting if you have some time.
All right.
The Hobbit cast has been locked in. Oh. Martin Freeman will play Bilbo Baggins, the hero of the story. Peter Jackson is directing The Hobbit. Martin Freeman, if you ever watched the British version of The Office with Ricky Gervais, he was the gym character, Tim, that was on that show. But he was sort of the normal, likable guy on that show. Very talented, funny actor. Ian McKellen and Andy Serkis apparently are going to reprise their roles as Gandalf and Gollum.
Oh, that's great.
So you'll see those guys in The Hobbit. Apparently, Kevin, you'll want to mark this down. They're scheduled for release, the first Hobbit film, December 2012, and then December 2013 for the second Hobbit film. So
wow, I'm booked.
Make sure you write that down.
I'm booked. I don't know that I can fit it in.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jonathan Lipnicki. Did you know the human head weighs 8 pounds?
I've heard that.
I've heard that.
It was his line from Jerry Maguire.
Some dumb little kid.
20 years old today. Zach Hansen of Hansen. He's 25 years old today.
She's good.
It's a boy, and he was the drummer. Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family is 35. Spike Jones turns 41. Carlos Mencia.
Ooh.
Is 43 years old today. Jeff Goldblum celebrates his 58th birthday. Actor Christopher Lloyd from Taxi and from Back to the Future is 72.
Marty, we have to go back in time before Kevin was born because he's a douchebag.
I'm Ralph Garman.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah, it was in 3. I don't know if you ever saw Back to the Future 3.
I thought I saw 3, but
yeah,
I don't remember that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock.
It's K-Rock.
Really?
Sorry,
Jesus.
Me.
Really?
Sorry.
It's 10 minutes after 8.
You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Friday. I could not be more excited by our next guest. I don't know why. I'm so fascinated with the International Man of Mystery, Doto. I love this dude so much. I love talking to this guy so much. He's a longtime Kevin Bean listener who we get on the phone whenever we can. And right now, apparently, we are talking to him in Vietnam, ladies and gentlemen. Doto on the phone from Nam.
Hey,
how are you, Doe? What's going on, man?
I just got back from a friend's buffet, man, at the five-star hotel.
That's the thing about Doto, too, is he loves a buffet.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, because there was a French festival at the Ecouteur Hotel, man.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Now, what are you doing in Vietnam?
Helping the old man with some business up in Nha Trang. It's an island.
Now, helping him with business means staying out of the way?
Somewhat being Kevin. But, you know, just helping him with planning and organizing stuff.
Okay. Well, good for you. It sounds like a lot of fun. Well, we haven't had you on in a while now, Doto, and we have received some great emails from you. And Psycho Mike, you kind of made acquaintance of somebody on Facebook, I guess, that has become quite friendly with Doe as well.
Yeah, the Doe Whisperer. He let me know that he's been in contact with Doe. quite consistently and constantly for the last month or two while Doto's been traveling. And Doe, it seems like you definitely really want to make it in the entertainment industry, specifically in comedy.
Let's check on that. Is that still true?
Kevin Bean?
Doto, yes? Mike was asking if it's true you still want to make it in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, I'd like to give it a shot, Kevin.
Okay,
Bean.
All right, good.
Okay,
Dan,
all right.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, but I'd like to see results, Kevin Bean.
Results, sure.
Okay, that leads me to my next question, Doto. It also, you mentioned quite often that Kevin and Bean might not be of the caliber of
what I'm saying is that if Kevin and Bean retires sooner or later, then could I make it, or would that be impossible?
No, I mean, I don't really, listen, my feelings aren't hurt, but you did pretty much say that we weren't a big enough platform for
Kevin.
Yeah, no, you did, and I have.
It's okay.
I have printed up evidence that you said that not only are Kevin and Bean maybe not a big enough show, but they don't make enough money in comparison to, say, Howard Stern or Oprah, who you also used by name.
But Howard Stern and Oprah not having you on, so
yeah,
they're.
I'm just using it as an example.
Hey, listen, if I could make Oprah money, I would be so happy.
Sure. And I don't know Kevin and Bean's financial situation, but you're probably right. They don't make as much money as Oprah or Howard Stern.
Not
but
even
Doto,
close, right?
They're also very successful in the entertainment industry. And you hold on 1 second. They have a pretty substantial listenership, and they are the show that has been supporting you for years.
Can I tell Mike, because here's the thing, Mike, my opinion is that, like, if you have a compassion and you like what you're doing, then that's fine. Like, if you make good money, that's fine. If not, then hopefully that's not what you expect. That's,
right.
That's how I look at you, know, Mike.
Okay.
Okay.
So
I'm lost.
I'm not trying to come down on you, Doto, but I just thought it was strange that you all of a sudden don't feel like this show's big enough for you to showcase your talent.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm a little bit hurt because I thought we boys. That's what I thought. We boys.
Are we boys?
No, we're still friends, Kevin Bean.
I didn't say friends, okay. Man. Are we boys?
Hey, Doto, I have a question for you. Do they celebrate Halloween in Vietnam? And if so,
here's the deal. To be honest with you, they don't do it in Nam, but in a lot of four to five star hotels, they do, Kevin Bean.
Because they have a lot of international travelers.
Yeah, of course. When they have international travelers, because I was at the Oktoberfest like last week at the Windsor Hotel. You know, I drank about four or five German beers, man, and I love those bratwursts, man.
Yeah,
bratwursts, sure.
Bratwurst.
Now, will you do anything for Halloween, Doto? Because you know that is coming up next weekend.
You know what? At the Sheraton in Saigon, they may be having something, so I might get some tickets and just go with some buds.
Yeah, okay. Real quick, Bean, I wanted to touch on German lady, Chinese lady, if possible.
Oh, German Chinese lady got lad. Yeah.
Doto, I got a message from you on Facebook that said that you got lad, which in Doto language means you got laid, and it was a German lady or a Russian lady, Chinese lady. Is that true?
Something like that, Mike.
So okay. Is that a mixture? It's one woman and it's a mixture of the two?
It's a mutt.
A mutt, sure.
Okay.
We're all mutts, I'm just saying. Okay.
So we were having this conversation off the air, Doto, because we're fascinated by this. And Kevin, what was your theory about Doe and the Russian lady, Chinese lady?
I would just like to know how much it cost.
Okay. Now, Kevin said that, and then I said, I'm going to tell you that I think Doto is a strong candidate to get his own lady, and I don't believe he has to pay for it. I think he got one for free. And then, Mike, what did you say?
I think he was just telling a little bit of a fib to make himself seem cooler, which
is
cool.
I didn't say,
so you think he didn't have sex?
I don't think he got lad.
Well, why do you say that, Mike?
All right. So which of us is the truth there, Doto? You didn't get lad. You got lad, but you paid for it. You got lad, but you earned it.
You know, to be honest, got lad because I paid for it.
What?
He paid for it.
He paid for it!
He paid for it. So Kevin was right. Kevin
yes!
was right.
Nice.
All right, how much?
No, maybe $50.
That's it?
Nice.
Yeah.
Did she have teeth? I mean, was she old?
I don't know.
$50.
How old was she, Doto, do you think?
Know. Maybe mid-30s to 40s.
Okay, and
could it be 40s to 50s?
I doubt it.
Remember her on the radio, Doto, but what kind of services does she provide?
I'm not so sure.
Yes. Why would you ask that question, Mike? I mean, you know he can't answer that question.
But he's not so sure is a strange answer.
What the person is like it's like an escort service, like a dating service.
Okay, so did you get everything?
Not everything, Kevin. Being
okay. This is why I asked, right. Because we need to know what went down.
$50, but didn't get everything.
Yeah.
But I think he got the one thing that he wanted.
Did you get the one thing you wanted?
Not quite.
Oh!
So you didn't, that's you disappointing.
That's a ripoff.
You didn't have sex with her, Doto?
Yeah, you know what? There was a lot of strange people there, man. There were some cops.
There were some cops.
Wait,
all right,
wait. Where were you guys? On a street? I thought you were in your room or something.
Yes. Because there was some gang members, so I was.
Where were you?
So you're someplace where there's cops and gang members and a Russian Chinese hooker that you paid $50 for. Is that all correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Well, no wonder you weren't able to finish with all that commotion going on around you.
I'm sorry, Bean.
Did you have the option to take her back to your room?
No, I didn't have. I didn't have some option. I was with four or five buds, Kevin Bean.
So you were with your buddies, and you said, "You know what? I'm gonna hold on real quick. I'm gonna go buy a hooker."
Yeah.
I want to party with Doto so badly.
And by the way, if I'm one of Doto's buddies, I'm fine with that. I'm like, go have fun. Enjoy yourself.
Doto, I want to fly to Vietnam and come visit you. May I do that?
Bean, can I ask you a question? Because my flight will be stopping by Seattle, so I don't know where to stay, Bean.
Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Well, now, do you mean that you have a brief layover in Seattle of a couple of hours, or do you mean that you are taking a flight to Seattle and then spending the night here and then flying on after that?
You know, maybe 2 or 3 days.
Yes! Okay.
Doto.
Doto, I know of a guy who wants to fly to Vietnam to spend time with you, who just said that 5 minutes ago, and his name is Bean, and he lives in Seattle.
You really want to go, Bean?
And you're welcome at his home.
Doto, I will come to you, or you will come to me. At some point, we need to hang out.
Yes, Bean.
And how much will it cost him?
When are you going to be flying back from Vietnam to America, Doe?
Maybe around mid to end of November, Bean.
Okay. Well, you definitely keep in touch and let us know so we can continue this conversation, okay?
Sure. I'll be talking to Mike quite often.
All right.
Okay.
Good time.
All right, Doe. Well, listen, we had a great time catching up with you. We appreciate it. We know with the time difference, it's late for you, but thank you for coming on and talking to us.
Hey, I'm sorry that don't worry about some of the stuff.
No, honestly, we don't care.
We're fine. I told you, we boys, so we're totally cool, Doe. All right?
Sorry.
Yeah. Don't be sorry. Now he sounds so sad.
Listen,
it's fine, Doe.
We're telling you, neither of our feelings are hurt. Yeah, okay. All good.
Thanks, Kevin.
Okay.
And I know, Doto, real quick, I know you have some concerns that we exploit you or that we make fun of you sometimes when we bring you on the air or do videos with you. But we are all such fans of yours, and we're your friends. We want you to make it in the industry,
right.
Okay?
Yeah, I'd like to give it a shot, Kevin Bean.
I'd like you to give it a shot,
too. I really, really have a passion for it.
I know you do. And we've seen that with your dedication to every time we set something up. All right, now listen. There's one last thing. You need to get Ladd for real.
Yeah, I need to, right, Kevin
Bean? Yes. So go try it again without the cops and the gang members.
Yes, Kevin Bean.
Okay.
Okay. All right, Doe. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kevin Bean.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
He calls us Kevin Bean because he doesn't know which one of us is speaking.
Right.
Which I understand. What? Where was he? Gang members and cops. But he paid the woman $50.
What? He's the international man of mystery. That's what you get.
I don't understand.
A very fine actor who plays Detective Angel Batista on Dexter, David Zayas, joins us in minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, let's say hello to LaQuisha. This may be the last time we talk to you in a while, LaQuisha, because Jersey Shore is now done, wrapped for the season on MTV.
Oh, that's the saddest thing you ever said.
No.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Had to go sometime.
The season finale of Jersey Shore was last night, and I am going to miss these stupid white people.
Did it go out with a bang?
Sort of. It didn't end exactly the way I wanted, which I'll get to in a little bit. But first, the entire gang decides before they leave Florida, they're going to do a little sightseeing, so they go out to Everglades or one of those big fan boats to take you out across the Everglades.
Sure.
Before we leave Miami, we are going on a road trip. We are hitting up the Everglades. We got crocodiles, alligators, whatever you want to call them.
You know, whatever you want to call them.
Can I call them dogs?
Ravens, zebras, antelope, whatever you want to call them. And apparently it is whatever you want to call them when it comes to Snooki.
I am so excited because we are going to see the crocodilies.
Did she say crocodilies?
Crocodilies.
Okay. Wow.
And they go out there and they taste some of the local cuisine, too. They go to a little restaurant there in the Everglades that serves alligator all fried up and frog, a lot of frog, if you want to have some frog.
I don't want frog.
Some people didn't want to have the frog, but the situation was like, I'm going to eat the frog. I don't care. Look at me. I'm tough. I can eat anything. I think it's good. I'm going to have some more frog. Well, turns out on the long ride home back to Miami, the frog legs perhaps didn't agree with the situation as much as he would have thought.
Mike hops out the Escalade. About to throw up.
Yeah, those frogs hopped right out of his stomach.
Wow.
No.
And when they get back to the house, it's kind of sad because both Vinny and Pauly, you know, have met girlfriends while they're in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the last dates with the girls. Vinny goes out with Ramona, and Pauly sees Rocio for the last time.
I really want to give her a shot. I've done all the right things. I've took her on nice dates. I got her flowers. And I want to see how it goes because I like to have a girlfriend.
I can tell that Pauly would like to have a girlfriend. By the way, he tries to bang every girl in every club he goes to with the situation.
That is true.
He gets angry at the situation when he's not enough a wingman for him to be able to put it in, as he says. He really is boyfriend material. Now, this episode had a bit of a shock to it. I don't know if you guys know it or not, what happened last night.
What happened?
But apparently Ronnie and Sammy got into a fight.
Wait, what?
Yes, their relationship is not rock solid, it turns out.
And there was a fight on Jersey Shore?
They were arguing with each other.
Oh.
So naturally, everybody had to go out to a club, because that's the only way you can feel better is go to a dance club.
That is the answer.
And Vinny, who really has feelings for Ramona, he was in a bit of a pickle, you see, because these two girls came up and offered him a threesome. They were not attractive, but still it was a threesome.
And they're okay. Not the prettiest girls in the world, but sometimes you mix two grenades and might make one good-looking girl.
Yeah. You're surprised how your standards will plummet when the possibility of a threesome rears its horny head.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, he cares about this girl, Ramona. What's he supposed to do? Does he take the girls up on a threesome, or does he stay true to his Miami girlfriend?
I think he goes for the girls, the threesome, yeah.
Oh, Bean, you don't know anything about love.
What?
Oh.
Definitely was thinking about Ramona when, these hoes were all over me. When you actually have a good girl out there, say no to hoes.
That's right, Bean.
Say no to hoes.
Somebody's growing up.
No, he's not.
Say no to hoes.
He's not. If they were remotely hot, he would have done it.
No, he has feelings for Ramona.
Right.
And you know who noticed that he's grown up? The situation noticed.
Uh-oh.
I'm proud of Vinny for coming into his own. But guess what, baby? It's a carousel. And that's two girls, me, and lots of fun. That's called a threesome, okay? That's a situation sum, okay?
That's a situation sum.
Yeah. That doesn't work. I'm sorry, Sitcher.
So he swings right in and grabs those two girls and takes them into the bathroom at the club and has sex with them.
All right.
No.
In a bathroom.
He is a classy, classy gentleman.
Hey, public restrooms in clubs can be very clean.
Swoops in and has a three-way with these two grenades and could not be happier about his achievement. Now, when they get back to the house, it's the last night there, so, of course, they have to drink themselves into a coma. And then they decide they're going to play a game. That's a bad combination, alcohol and game.
Yeah.
They decide they're going to play a game called Most Likely To, where, remember in like yearbooks and whatnot,
sure.
You say this person's most likely to fill in the blank.
End up in jail.
So yep. They write them down on paper, and then you got to pull one out, and then everybody talks about the other people, who's most likely to. Here's how they play the game.
You know, like when you're in a yearbook and you write out, like, most likely to succeed, most likely to see your sister, most likely to this, to that.
Can you spell likely?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's going to be a long night playing that game.
Yes, it is.
As they write down their questions. Well, alcohol and honesty, not always a good combination in this house. And it turns out that the people think Jenny is most likely to be fake to your face. And that did not go over well. In fact, it led to a giant alcohol-soaked jacuzzi fight.
I heard that you called me fake when I was trying to be...
How the f*** I call you fake?
That's what I heard!
Ramon! I said that she's fake!
No!
All right, then! What are you talking about? You're the wrong f***ing nut!
Oh, my goodness.
When did the dad from American Dad get in on that show?
I'm going to miss these people
what the
so
hell?
Much. Well, Snooki gets her feelings hurt during the fight. And she starts packing her bag. She's not going to wait for tomorrow. She's going to pack her bag and get out. Because she can't take the stress no more.
I want to go home. Or with it. Giving me stress. I'm going to have a heart attack in 2 minutes. If blood pressure's off the roof.
Yeah.
Look, you do not.
Off the roof.
You do not want your blood pressure off the roof.
No, because the blood pressure jump off the roof is like suicide. Your blood pressure kill itself that way.
These are the only people in the world that I can point at it laugh.
Shut up, Snooki.
I love this.
Well, as they're leaving, they're all outside waiting for the cabs and whatnot, and a giant black crow comes and sits on the pole right above where they're all sitting. And I don't know if you noticed or not, but a crow is bad luck.
Sure.
And it makes them all nervous.
Sure.
That's bad luck.
That's bad luck.
A crow comes and it starts quacking at us. Or not quacking. What's a crow do?
No, quacking. Quacking's right. You got it. It's quacking.
Man, when crows quack, that is rough.
And Snooki will now give us the significance of a crow appearing before you take a trip.
Usually when a crow comes and it does that, that means you're going to die. It's warning you of your death. So right now we're thinking, who's going to die right now? Not going to be me.
Oh, come on!
Can it be all of them?
Please! Please let it be. Oh, I hate it. Don't you hate it when a show ends and the finale disappoints you?
Yeah.
If Snooki had died at the end of Jersey Shore,
we all would have been happy.
It would have been the greatest finale in the history of television.
Yep.
And America would have been better for it.
Note to MTV. Kill off Snooki in season 3.
Wow.
There you go.
All right, LaQuisha.
We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right, now.
Thank you. Bye. It's KROQ, and it is 8:44.
Friday, I've said this before, Sunday nights in America are the golden age of television. You got your Boardwalk Empire, you got your Mad Men, although that's not gone. And, of course, you got Dexter that is just as great as ever this season. And one of the actors we very much enjoy on the program, we've never had a chance to talk to before, is on the phone with us right now, David Zayas. He is Detective Angel Batista on Dexter on Showtime. How are you, David? Welcome to the show, man.
I'm doing great, and I love the way you use the pronunciation. Angel is awesome.
Angel. Well, that's what that's what your wife calls you on the show.
That's right. No, it's awesome. Not everybody goes Angel. You go Angel. I'm like, there you go.
Well, we're Hispanic. You don't know that about us, but we're Hispanic.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's great to have you on. I didn't realize. I guess I've seen. You know, I saw you on Oz, and I saw you on this, and that's about all I knew. But I had no idea until I was reading up on you that you spent years and years and years as a New York police officer, right?
Yeah, I was a New York cop for 15 years.
Wow. How do you go from being the Boys in Blue to an acting career? I mean, that's got to be kind of a jarring transition.
Well, what better place to observe every single kind of character in the world than in New York City, right? I was always interested in acting, and halfway into my police career, I figured it is a great place to start checking it out, see if it was something I wanted to do, and I started going to school, acting school.
Wow.
And one thing led to another. I started working a lot, and here I am.
Do you think it was because of your familiarity with cops and robbers that is what led you into the kinds of roles you've done, or was it something about your look that was specific for that kind of material, or how do you think it happened?
I don't know. I was pretty, pretty good cop, and then they cast me as a killing drug dealer on Oz. So I don't know how to explain.
Yeah.
But it definitely makes the technical part of being on a show as a cop a lot easier, which helps me just concentrate on the character.
Now, your character, Angel Batista, is married, of course, to his boss, and she—that seems like that causes a lot of stress. And
well, yeah.
I think it was episodes. Because you seem like you're a really, really proud man. And this is difficult for you because she's your boss.
I wouldn't trade it in for the world. Lauren Velez is fantastic, and I love working with her. And, especially with the circumstances of what's happening in the series, you know, you're working in the same precinct as a profession that's filled with testosterone and
right.
filled with, you know, to have your boss, that's your wife, it really gives you some interesting dynamics and character. So that was always fun to play.
And now the storyline where you found her mail open, and don't look, by the way, people at home, don't look at your wife's mail. Just don't. It's just a good tip because he finds out that she has like $275,000 that she's hiding from him. And then every time you went around and asked people, should I bring this up? I was yelling, no, don't bring it up. Whatever you do, don't bring it up. And you brought it up.
If you know the character of Angel Batista, he doesn't keep anything in.
There's no,
that's true.
I know, but I was rooting. I was rooting against.
He cheats on his wife. He's got to tell his wife the next day. He goes for a prostitute. He's got to tell his lieutenant like the next week.
Yeah.
This guy's an open book, and which is what I love about this character. He's, wears his heart on his sleeve, and that's the kind of character he is. And those characters are great to play.
They are great to play. I mean, there's so many terrific roles on this Dexter show. And, of course, the primary plot line is about, about Dexter and the serial killing, and that's fascinating. But your B story this year with the wife and now with the bar fight and the internal affairs investigation, everything has been so fascinating to me because I've always wondered how seriously internal affairs takes their cases in a police department, or are they going into an investigation hoping to clear their brother and not suspend and not make headlines if they don't have to? Or are they really doing everything they can to uncover everything that every guy potentially does wrong? What do you think?
Well, I listen, I not only do I think, I know, because I was in the New York City Police Department for 15 years, and I know that there are a lot of good detectives, a lot of good on the internal affairs, and believe it, they do want to clear as many cops as possible. It doesn't help them. It doesn't turn them on to try and really, you know, bring down a cop. I think they do it because they have to. The cop is corrupt.
But they do it as much as they have to, but they don't want it to be positive.
Of course, no. Right. Believe me. I would hope, and I remember most of their job being just, proving that the accusation that was made against the cop is wrong,
right.
And that's what they do. And they're good guys. They just want to do their job, and that's sometimes that's a job that they put them in, and they got to do what they have to do.
All right, I got to tell you, Dexter, one of the best shows ever to me. And every week on Sunday night, 9 o'clock Showtime. You have to watch the new episode. One of the things I like about it, Michael C. Hall is great, but like Bean mentioned, the secondary characters are there. They don't throw them away. All of the storylines are interesting, and David, you're great on the program as Angel Batista, and we really can't tell people more to watch this program. It's one of our favorites.
Well, thank you, man. Just remember also, you know, this on the 12th of November, I got this new movie coming out called Skyline. About aliens hitting Los Angeles. That should be a lot of fun as well.
Fantastic.
I'm very excited. I love it when the aliens come and they start screwing with people. I love that. I don't like the happy aliens that come down and share knowledge. I like the aliens that come down and blow us up. Those are my favorite kinds of movies.
And they say, wait a second, we're going to take over this place.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah. I can't, because Earth is puny, let's face it. All right, the movie opens up on November 12th. It's called Skyline. Dexter, Sunday nights on Showtime. David, thanks for coming on the Kevin Amin Show, man.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Thank you, bud.
The Huntington Beach bad boy himself, Tito Ortiz, joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on Friday, the 22nd of October. Well done. Well done indeed.
He will not give up the triple. I've been trying to get him to. Not giving it away.
You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show on a Friday. Ralph Garman gets out from behind the drum set, heads up to the microphone. Time for another look at the showbiz beat.
He's all wrapped up in his kit, you know. Yo.
I know
yo.
He is, man. He's got a lot going on.
You know?
Trapped behind the skins.
That's right.
That's why it's hard to be the drummer, man.
You're a front
prisoner
man.
Of rock all and roll. The attention. The drummer's the back, the spine of the band.
Yeah.
No one gives the drummer any...
I'll give the drummer some.
Mel Gibson will not be in The Hangover 2. Apparently his cameo, which would have been magical, has been pulled. Some of the cast apparently not happy with Mel being on the set. Huh, I guess we won't be seeing Mel between two ferns anytime soon.
I don't care.
Zach Galifianakis is apparently not happy with the idea Todd Phillips had of having Mel play. There's differing reports, either a tattoo artist or a bartender in the sequel to The Hangover. He thought it would have been a good idea. Director says, I thought Mel would have been great in the movie and I had the full backing of Warner Brothers, but I realized filmmaking is a collaborative effort and this decision ultimately did not have the full support of my entire cast and crew.
You need a bat in the side of the head. Alright, how about that?
Well, I don't think that'll get you the role back, Mel. It's a different kind of movie. It's a different movie completely. CBS has announced which series they are giving full series orders to. Apparently all their freshman series will be back, at least for That's the rare. Remainder of this season. It is very rare. CBS says the reboot of Hawaii Five-0 is one of the top new series of the year.
Shame on you, CBS!
So they're going to be investing an entire season's worth of that program. Also, Tom Selleck's cop drama Blue Bloods is Friday's top program. On Fridays, apparently people love the Blue Bloods.
Yeah, they love Tom Selleck, I know that.
Because old people are watching CBS on Fridays while the rest of us are out partying and cocktails.
Friday nights is usually the death night, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not hard to be number one on Fridays, yeah. That's all I'm saying. The Defenders is the number three new drama on television.
Is that right?
Our buddy Jerry O'Connell? Jerry O'Connell? Jim Belushi? Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's real good. I liked it. William Shatner's new show, Bleep My Dad Says, I don't know if you've seen that or
haven't
not yet, but
seems like a thin premise. I mean,
it's not great. Whoa! It's not great, but I will tell you that Mr. Shatner is eminently likable and watchable.
Whoa! I don't care.
CBS is keeping it on the air, though. Right. It is the second highest rated new comedy in viewers aged 18 to 49, CBS says.
CBS. Corporate bull.
So, congratulations to all the folks involved with those shows. It's hard to keep a show in the air these days.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they will be happy to have a job, at least for a little bit longer. Rihanna, her film career is just blowing up. We've talked about the fact that she is one of the stars of the new Battleship movie. She plays B7. B7. Oh, you suck my battleship. She's got a role, apparently, in the upcoming Expendables 2 as well.
All right.
Sylvester Stallone says he's impressed by her talent and her built-in fan base, more importantly, and he's eyeing her for a role in the upcoming Expendables 2. So.
I didn't see the first one, guys, but were there any women in Expendables?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There were, okay.
Yeah,
because you know the advertising board was, just, role was all the
story,
guys,
so. But still. And Eric McCormick from Will and Grace fame is back. TNT has announced he'll be starring in a new series called Perception, where he plays an eccentric and frequently erratic, absolutely brilliant neuroscientist who helps the FBI solve complex cases. We've talked about my dissatisfaction with this trend in TV shows where everybody is a brilliant but erratic fill-in-the-blank who helps authorities solve fill-in-the-blank.
There's a lot of them, but yeah. Some of them are well done.
Got an email from one of our listeners who said, you're missing the most obvious case. Your very own Bean is a brilliant but erratic, rude person. I don't know exactly what he solves, but
he solves nothing.
That's where he falls off. He doesn't solve anything.
He solves nothing.
No, they help in no way.
I don't care.
And we may have been concerned about the burgeoning film career of Jaden Smith for no reason. He, of course, was a star. Oh, come on. He's just a little kid. He was the star of Karate Kid. He's obviously being groomed for stardom simply because he is Will Smith's son.
You don't have a choice, right?
You have to. If you're one of Will Smith's kids, you have to, first of all, be in show business. Mm-hmm. And second of all, if you're in show business, you have to accept his children.
Correct.
I was not crazy about the Karate Kid remake. However, it may all be over anyway because apparently he is now slated to work next with M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh no.
Oh, young career snuffed out before it even blossomed.
Give him a chance.
Yeah.
Wow. Did that Karate Kid make hundreds of millions of dollars?
It was a huge,
it was a
huge
monster hit. I was not a fan, but what do I know? Obviously, not as much as people who make millions and millions of dollars. Today's celebrity birthday is Jonathan Lipnicki, a little kid from Jerry Maguire, who's also in Stuart Little. He is 20 years old today. Drummer Zach Hansen of the Hansen Boys. He's 25 years old. Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family is 35. You know, he and Alec Baldwin are getting married. I don't know if you heard about that or not.
No.
Excuse me?
Very funny series of videos on the internet.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Regarding the New York State's...
law?
Lack of willingness to allow gays to marry in the state of New York. And Jesse Tyler Ferguson did a very funny PSA about it, saying, for example, I can't marry my boyfriend, and he held up a picture of Alec Baldwin. And so Alec Baldwin saw that, thought it was funny, and he did a response video where he was talking about, despite the fact that I'm heterosexual, I am indeed going to marry Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
That's great.
So it was very funny. Spike Jonze is 41 years old today. Carlos Mencia celebrates his 43rd birthday. Actually, it's not his 43rd birthday. He stole that birthday from another comedian, which I think is really sort of unfair, but what do I know? Actor Jeff Goldberg is 58 years old. Or Jeff Goldblum, Jeff Goldberg is also celebrating his birthday, but he's not very well known.
No.
Jeff Goldblum's 58, and Christopher Lloyd is 72 years old today. He, of course, Doc Brown from Back to the Future. Here's one of my favorite scenes ever from the, I think it was the second Back to the Future scene from that movie that I love so much.
Marty, we have to go back in time before Kevin was born because he's a douchebag.
Yeah, remember that?
I don't remember that.
That's when they try to kill you. Yeah, those are my favorite scenes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Odd.
Probably you'd miss that.
You think
it was about
my
you
and
all.
I don't remember.
But yeah, you don't know who Ken Watanabe was in Inception. So what do you know? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
The Huntington Beach Bad Boys. Tito Ortiz. Great job done by Tito. Tito catches Chuck with a right.
Wow, you
Tito Ortiz, you smell good. How do you do it?
With Big Man Deodorant. When it comes to body odor, it kicks butt.
Tito is swinging for the fences.
Tito has a great look in his eyes. The old Tito is back. Tito's conditioning is second to none. His work ethic is second to none.
I'm always just looking for, you know, great fights and the biggest fights out there.
Tito wades in with a big right hand.
Look at the smile on the face of Ortiz. Tito's starting to have fun. Starting to look like the Tito of old.
I will be back. I guarantee it.
Back indeed in front of the crowd at UFC 121 in Anaheim tomorrow. Tito Ortiz back on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, man? Welcome.
Doing good, man. Just relaxing my bed, getting ready for the weigh-ins. I got about 3 more pounds to make, and shouldn't be a problem making 205.
Now, you have to cut weight, right? What did you cut from?
I cut from 222.
Ouch.
Wow.
Yeah.
I still can't believe you guys are able to do that and not... Not just curl up in a ball and sleep the rest of the day after you've done it.
No, I mean, I wrestled in college. You know, in college you really learn how to make weight the right way, you know, the healthy way. And the best way to do it is being in the best possible shape you can be in.
Sure. I mean, look,
I kind of cut out the water. That's all it comes down to.
I don't really know anything about it, but I do know that the announcers a lot of times will go, you know, maybe that had a bad effect. Maybe he's weak. Maybe he's not back, you know, to his strength yet. Are you worried about that or no?
No, not at all. You know, I think, thank God for Pedialyte. You know, Pedialyte really holds it in the fluids in your body so it could really soak up like a sponge throughout your muscles.
Sure.
And being in great shape is the number one thing. You got to have great cardio shape when you're running. I mean, I run every single day, so putting in the miles really counts. So when I do cut weight, my muscles are used to the shock.
Now, you hurt your back. How bad and how long did it take to get over?
Well, I mean, that was probably about 7 years ago when it happened, when I fought Randy Couture and lost my world title to him. And every fight after that, it just was nagging and nagging and got so bad where I would have numbness down my legs. I ended up getting surgery 2008, October 6th. They did fusion L4-5 S1, where they fused it, went to the side of Dr. William Smith out of Las Vegas, who did the surgery. 1 year later, I fought,
wow.
And I haven't had any problems since then. Prior to the fight of last year, November 22nd, when I fought Forrest Griffin, UFC 106, I got bounced on my head in training before that fight, and C6, C7 in my neck had a ruptured disc, and it was pressing on my spinal cord.
Oh,
so,
man.
So, people who watched The Ultimate Fighter, they saw me pull out of the fight. I ended up having to get some neck surgery. March 15th, I got C6, C7 fused, and I started training again by July 5th, July 6th.
Wow.
So it has been a long time since you've been in the ring for a fight that mattered.
Yeah, it's been a long time I've been in the ring healthy for a fight that mattered.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. Nothing will hold me back, man. For my fans, I fight my heart and soul, you know, for my family also. And I love the sport. Mixed martial arts and UFC, there's no other competition in the world like it. And to be one of the best guys, one of the most recognizable names in UFC or MMA in general, I've worked really, really hard to get where I am. And nothing's going to stop me, man. Nothing's going to stop me.
Well, there's a little bit of an interesting plot line going on with your fight this weekend. This is the voice of Tito Ortiz on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, talking about UFC 121. Is that you're fighting, I don't know if you'd call him an old friend of yours, or somebody you've certainly spent a lot of time with, Matt Hamill. It's not always the case that you have worked so closely with somebody that you're now going to be fighting against.
Yeah, I guess this is a teacher versus student. I've showed Matt a lot of things. You know, I took a liking to Matt. You know, he's a kid who's had a lot of challenges in his life, and he's excelled and been very successful throughout his life with the challenges he has. Of course, he's a kid who's deaf, but he's taken in stride, and he's excelled to great lengths. And I support him since day one of The Ultimate Fighter, and I still support the kid. But, you know, right now it's strictly business. I know what I need to do to get my world title back, and that's to walk through Matt Hamill.
So you're not going to support him tomorrow night?
No. I may hug him after the fight's over, but that's about it.
Any thoughts on the headline on the card tomorrow night? Do you have any feelings about Lesnar versus Velasquez?
You know, I think this is probably one of the biggest heavyweight fights this year, I mean, possibly in a decade. You know, you have a guy who's an awesome wrestler, huge. I mean, he's like a cat, Brock Lesnar. This guy is amazing. You know, he stopped guys that people didn't think he'd be able to stop, and he learned so much in such a quick amount of time. Now, the guy who's competing against Cain Velasquez, a Mexican-American kid who's worked his butt off to get where he is today, is undefeated. You know, he has great striking skills. His submission skills are good, and his wrestling is unbelievable also because he wrestled Arizona State Division One, of course, collegiate wrestling. But he's just been on a terror at the heavyweight division. So this is a huge card, and I'm awesome and happy to be a part of it. But I think I see Brock pulling this out.
Just you do.
Bigger. Yeah.
He's just so big and monstrous, but fat. Somebody didn't tell him that he's not supposed to be fast.
And he's like a cat, man. This guy could hop on one leg, and I mean, you should have seen some of the collegiate wrestling matches that he's had. I mean, this guy's normally, I mean, walk around like, what, 280? And it looks like he moves like he's 200 pounds.
Right.
But it's just great, like I say, to see a guy at that magnitude and that level to compete the way he does.
Yeah, it's a fantastic card tomorrow night. You and it's a local fight for you. You're going to have a lot of people in the audience rooting for you, Tito?
Hopefully I'll be having 18,000 people rooting for me. In that.
Do you get the exceptional, hey, remember I used to be friends with you, and you got tickets for me? You get a lot of that?
Yeah, exactly. Or you get the guys going, yeah, I used to kick his butt when he was a little kid.
Sure, yeah.
That's awesome.
No tickets for them.
Well, I'm so happy we talked to you today, Tito, because you sound so psyched and so energized and so ready, and it's exciting because UFC has missed you since you've been hurt the last couple of years, and I just... You know, obviously, we hope for a great fight, a fun fight, and I can't imagine how in the back of your mind you're not going to be thinking, please don't get hurt, please don't get hurt. I mean, you got to think that every time you fight, but I mean, you've worked so hard to get back in the octagon that, you know, God, let's hope it goes great tomorrow.
You know, either way, I still have 5 more fights with the UFC, and I'll continue on. I'm just happy to be injury-free. You don't understand how this camp went, where I felt so good. You know, I had to shake off a lot of rust, but at the same time, I put in a lot of hard work, and, God has challenged me, and I've taken this challenge in stride, and I'm going to continue to compete no matter what. And on Saturday night, I'm going to get my heart and soul inside that cage and get my hand raised.
UFC 121, it's going to be in Anaheim at Honda Center, and of course, get it on the pay-per-view. TitoOrtiz.com is the site. Have a great time this weekend, man. Thanks so much for coming on. It's always great to talk to you on the Kevin Bean Show.
Awesome, guys. I appreciate it very much. And all my fans can check out Punishment.com, and of course, follow me on my Twitter, Tito Ortiz, and as I make weight, I put little videos out. You know, I cut some weight last night. I was about 215 last night, and I'm actually 209 right now.
Wow.
So I'm right there where I need to be, and, you know, I just can't wait to make weight and be able to eat some food.
Fantastic. Thank you, Tito.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's face it, the only thing better than a Friday is a Friday that happens to fall during the month of Rocktober.
Prescription is more cowbell.
Now, Kevin was bringing the cowbell. I'm sad that there's only one more Friday in Rocktober left. Melfun retires again next week, which is going to be
We haven't made that decision yet, but that's usually how it happens because,
unfortunately,
things are tense.
All right. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. Final look at the entertainment news for the week. What's going on?
Breaking news! Breaking news! Melfun has broken up.
What?
What?
No, it's not the breaking news.
Lady Lohan!
Was in
electric
court.
Chair.
Was
electric
in
chair
this morning.
Electric chair.
To face Judge Fox.
Let me give you the breaking news.
Oh, okay. Lindsay Lohan appeared in court this morning to face Judge Fox. No one knew what he would do. That's not the news. That's just the beginning of the story.
No, that's not the end.
Would he send her directly to jail? Would he postpone the hearing till after she completed her rehab and then send her to jail? Or would he do what he did? In fact, he did what he did.
which was order her back to rehab until at least January 3rd, 2011.
Oh, happy holidays.
Wow.
No jail time for Lilo. She is due back in court on February the 25th. However, she must spend time in rehab until January 3rd.
Okay.
You think that's to get her through New Year's Eve? The judge thought.
Yeah. Let's not push it. Let's not test her.
Right.
The DA recommended, by the way, that Lindsay get 180 days in county jail. That's what they wanted. That's what the DA was recommending.
Wow.
The judge, however, took pity on the redheaded starlet and said, no, she can just stay in rehab. She needs help more than she does jail. And she's going to get a lot of help between now and January 3rd.
I think that's good. I think
it's October, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think the people of California are served well by having Lindsay Lohan in prison, for God's sakes.
No.
Keep her in rehab. Let her get better. Absolutely.
And you know why it's better for us, too? Because if she's not in jail, it's less of a story.
Yeah.
If she was in jail, it would be Lindsay Lohan jail update every 5 minutes on every news channel. This way... No, it's not what I'm getting at. Just saying, this way, she's in rehab, she'll stay in rehab, she'll spend a nice long chunk of time in rehab, and hopefully by the time she gets out, she will have a handle on her issues.
That's some balance.
Godspeed, Lindsay Lohan. One day at a time. That's all we can tell you. One day at a time. One day at a time.
I think we get it.
One day at a time. Take each day as it comes, one day at a time.
Right. Yeah. Should you look to the future?
Today's the first day of the rest of your life, but just take it one day at a time.
All right.
Speaking of someone who could use a little time in rehab, Mel Gibson's cameo in The Hangover 2 has been pulled. Much was made of the fact that Mel was going to appear in the second Hangover in a cameo appearance a la Mike Tyson in the first, either as a tattoo artist or as a bartender.
Not I don't really, care.
Not really clear on which role he was going to take. However, director Todd Phillips released a statement today saying that his cameo has been pulled from the project. I thought Mel would have been great in the movie and had the full backing of Warner Brothers, he said, but I realized filmmaking is a collaborative effort, and this decision ultimately did not have the full support of my entire cast and crew.
I need a woman!
People are speculating that... Was that Dotto? people are speculating it was, in fact, Zach Galifianakis, who was unhappy with Mel being in the film. In fact, during a recent interview, he mentioned that, and I quote, "I'm in deep protest right now with a movie I'm working on, up in arms about something. I can't get the guys to listen. I'm not making any leeway."
Well, he made some leeway.
Apparently he did.
But...
if it's him.
As was discussed earlier, Mike Tyson, convicted rapist and psychopath, he was in The Hangover, and that was fine with Zach?
Because I hurt my back.
Uh-huh.
It was spinal.
Right, right.
I know, look. Maybe time heals some wounds.
Right.
Maybe it's too soon to put Mel Gibson to work for some people. We may never know.
You need a bat in the side of the head. All right? How about that?
Well, that kind of talk just doesn't help anyone,
it's not
Mel.
Helping.
Conan O'Brien has revealed the first of his musical guests for his premiere week on his new late night TV.
El Chumbo?
Yes, El Chumbo will be there.
That's such good news.
He'll be kicking off the premiere week. Then, after him...
I've got a guess.
Oh, okay. Who? Who?
Harvey Keitel.
Yes. So Harvey Keitel will be playing the zither. And then El Chumbo. And then, after those guys...
Then who?
Soundgarden.
With our fingers, we make million holes.
No. Bjork was pulled.
She was pulled.
Zach Galifianakis did not want her to be on the Conan O'Brien.
That's a good
show.
Choice.
Is it Willow Smith? Willow Smith not appearing on it. There's something strange. Ray Parker Jr.? Yeah, it is Ray Parker Jr. Yeah.
I knew it.
Ray Parker Jr. Will be on stage when Conan debuts the week of November the 8th. However, Huey Lewis in the news, not on the lineup.
Not down. Yes.
Yes. The Batman singing pug will be stopping by. However,
the powerful girls.
I don't think Nate Dogg will be making it.
Oh, wait. I got it. I got it.
I got big booty bitches.
Oh, yeah. Big booty bitches.
Is it big booty bitches?
Big booty bitches not in the lineup.
Wow.
However, Soundgarden will be playing in the first week of Conan's shows.
We used up your entire showbiz time for that.
Jack White will be playing as well. And Fistful of Mercy.
Oh.
I don't know who she is, but whoever's got a fistful of her, I think. That sounds like good music.
Here's some Fistful of Mercy for you if you haven't heard them.
And these people need
Jesus.
Oh, that should be, I'm looking forward to that of Coda. That should be good.
Take a look at the birthday show. My daddy taught me good. Celebrity birthdays today.
No,
we can't play that. We got a 2-year moratorium on that piece of audio.
Against the rules. Yeah.
Jonathan Lipnicki from Jerry Maguire and Stuart Little.
Oh, no, my butt.
That's 20 years old today. 20 years old today. Zach Hansen of Hansen's 25.
How great is Mail App?
I don't think George Takei will be stopping
Hansen's
by.
Hansen's big hit.
Jesse Tyler Ferguson of Modern Family's 35.
The hand
partner. The hand partner will not be on. I pretty much told you who's going to be on.
I'm just going to let this run. Go ahead.
There's no more real room for any more musical guests on Conan for the first 2 weeks.
Guy. Go ahead. Finish.
Spike Jones is 41. Rapper Shaggy celebrates his 42nd birthday. Carlos Mencia is 43. Actor Jeff Goldblum, 58 years old today. And actor Christopher Lloyd, of course, from the Back to the Future franchise, celebrates his 72nd birthday. I am Ralph Garman.
All good things must come to an end.
Yes. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show ends too, even though it's not good.
We'll see you on Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You make money promoting sin.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You're not one of those morons who thinks soccer is football.
Roll another one.
Whoa. Only in America. Wow.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
Yep, with a capital C.
I need another hit.
Have you been introduced to Kevin?
No, which one's Kevin?
He's here on a special work program. He's slow, you know, in his brain.
Oh, good for you guys.
Yeah.
Roll.
Comedy.
See, what's up with the world today, man? Can you
really I
like minorities so much, I'm thinking of moving to California and become one.
But the emotion, too much for Tito.
Megan Fox, what do you have? Weird thumbs.
All right, and before we go, I want to say something to you guys, and I mean this. I admire the both of you. What you're doing is an unbelievable act of friendship.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.
Excuse me, everyone. There's a killer shark octopus hybrid headed this way, so please leave the marina in a timely fashion.
This is weird. Can I go home now?
Okay, by my watch, it's Margarita.